much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We have something very exciting to tell you that you have never heard before.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What type of car are you in?
I'm in a Fisker.
A what?
A Fisker. F-I-S-K-E-R.
What kind of car is that?
I'm a Fisker.
I don't much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Have you ever heard his song?
No. How's it go?
Baby, 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 oh.
Is that his song?
You know it.
I don't think I'd like it.
Well, all right. Let's see it.
See what?
See the funny. Make me laugh. Go.
Go.
Go. Funny. 3, 2, 1.
I'm go. I'm not that kind of funny.
Kind of funny.
The kind where you just say go and I'm funny.
All right, I think you better leave my office.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Rusty. Trombone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That'd be sweet.
Roll a
So that's a toss-up.
Just like the other one.
Do they do stuff to your butt?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Holy sombrero.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
That is the gayest thing ever.
Roll.
Anybody mind if I take off my pants?
I don't have another cent.
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struck you.
That's intense.
But don't walk out that joint.
This is how you do.
Just pass it around.
The station is rigged.
But don't walk out that joint, my friend.
Arabian. Goggles.
And now.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
Shh. Our feature presentation.
All right, check, check, check. This will be the Bean mic.
It's already working.
The Bean. Number three.
It's already, three. Art, it's already working. We can hear Bean.
Check, check, check. One,
we got
two,
it. We're,
three.
We're on already, like.
Ouch. Okay, check. 1, 2. There we go. Okay,
works
good.
Fine.
Or check. There's number four right there.
Who's that?
Who's checking?
Why?
Check in the hizzy. What? Hold on.
Are we in the hizzy?
No, all we're right. Absolutely not in the hizzy.
Guy, no.
I know that.
There it is. Check. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Please
stop.
Numero seis. This one sounds tinny to me.
Me
check
too.
One,
her voice sounds tinny to me.
Two. Check. 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 1, 2.
All right.
Is that a little better?
Yes. That's
yes,
fine.
It's fine. Let's just say it's good and just move on.
Should do that before we go on the air. Is all I'm saying.
It's Friday, right?
It
yes,
is.
It is.
Okay. What an exhausting week. My God.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show for a Friday morning.
Now, I think this is interesting. It's 2013. By the way, do you guys have a preference? I have a friend who is just on a rampage. He hates people who say 2013. He is all about 2013. You guys, does it you care? Does it matter to you
I
at all?
I don't care. I say 2013, but I mm-hmm. don't care.
I can't imagine.
I don't have passion about it.
I can't imagine how that rises to the I care category.
I don't know either, because it's not like 2000 is particularly cumbersome. It's not like it adds 8 syllables. And that's the problem. 2013, 2013, for most people, is going to take about the same amount of time. I don't get it either. And you know me, I have my own peculiarities when it comes to stuff like this. But that one just doesn't bother me at all.
You're a number weirdo. That should bother you as much as anyone.
But why? But I don't understand why. You know, I don't understand why it bothers some people. But I mean, I get why, you know, you put an and in the middle of a number. That drives me crazy too. I get why that bothers people because that just makes sense. That's
check,
just
check,
sense
one,
right
two,
there.
One, two, no, check, stop, check, right. One, two, stop. Check, no, one, two, on. Check. Hello. Hey, sounds great.
Okay, it does sound great. But here we are at a new year, whatever you want to call it. And I have great news for the Kevin and Bean Show because I think I have found the secret to the rocket ride to success on this program because there's a new service available to morning radio called The Morning Punch that has jokes that are already written that you just come in, you just deliver them, and it's gold. You
all can't, right.
Can't miss material,
can
right?
Can we act like there are jokes so that people
yes.
think we're funny? Really?
Awesome. Yeah. This is a radio website called All Access, and they started something new for the new year, and they're providing jokes in this thing, again, called The Morning Punch, where you use this material, and I'm sure it's on you know radio stations all over the country, but you use this material, and then you just sound like the hippest, wittiest guy on the dial. And I wanted to try out a couple of them and see if you think they're right for our show.
Okay.
Because I'm sure I have a feeling you guys are going to be with me that this is good stuff.
All right. Okay? Fantastic.
This is what apparently
can we
is,
split them up each day so that like Lisa has a couple of punchlines and I have a couple
we can
of punchlines?
That's the beautiful thing about it. You do whatever you want with it. Yeah. Okay. Use it however is best for you. So I'll try this one and see what you guys think. Hey, I'll try to make it sound natural, like it's in the conversation. I don't know if you guys saw the news, but now that the fiscal cliff near disaster has been averted in Congress, it can be revealed that the country actually did go over the cliff for several hours on New Year's morning before a deal was voted on in the Senate. So it was more of a fiscal flume ride than a cliff.
All right. That could be yours. You can have that one.
All right. I should have said this to you so you could try it out, Kevin, but let's see if you would use this one and how this would work. Right? Outgoing Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and President Obama have just been named the world's most admired man and woman of 2012. What did Hillary win for, man or a woman? Hey, we're just kidding here.
Does it say, hey, we're just kidding?
Oh, hold on.
It says, hey, we're just kidding here? So
hey, we're just kidding here, yeah. It does.
That's part of the punchline?
That's what's written right here on the page, yeah. When Hillary feels better, she and the Prez will arm wrestle for the overall title of most admired person of 2012. All right. One more, I guess.
All right.
You guys,
by the way, here's what I suggest. I suggest that we challenge ourselves, that we have to pick one of these jokes.
Okay.
And before the end of the show today, one of us has to try and work it in seriously and make it work.
Can we say no to that? I mean, is that
I don't know. I'm just saying.
How are we going to work in some of this?
It's challenging.
Possible. Yeah.
All right.
All right. We only have time for one more. Do you want the Charlie Sheen joke or the Victoria Principal joke? Which one do you want? Because they're both available, and I hate
and
to
so both
leave
so
one of the
timely.
Dust.
So timely.
Right. Well, Charlie Sheen was in the news over the holidays.
Let's do Charlie Sheen.
All right.
Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen opened his new lounge in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico over the holidays and almost immediately got into trouble for shouting insulting comments at his customers. Charlie's got crazy rich guy problems.
Okay, where's the joke?
I don't know what that means. You get it, Anderson? You know what this is supposed to be? Is that a thing that they say on, is that a Two and a Half Men reference?
Charlie's got crazy rich guy thing.
What? Explain it to us, Anderson, because I don't get what the joke is there.
How is it that funny? It's not that funny.
Yeah, he's out of control now.
Even if it's funny.
So there you go. That's the morning punch from All Access, and that could be the secret. That could vault us right up to number 28.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about it.
I'm not.
Good start, right?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Shut your face!
Okay. All right. Comedian Daryl Lennox will be in the studio today.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's funny.
Yeah, you too.
Nice delivery.
He's got a new comedy special on Starz, which is a network that's trying to start out their comedy.
All right.
Programming. Cousin Sal will be here for the look at the NFL playoffs. Okay. Who's going to win and who's going to lose this weekend?
I tried to squeeze him yesterday to find out, you know, God forbid he's picking Seattle over Washington because, you know, Sal's not had a great year making the predictions on the NFL games this weekend. So I'm terrified that he's back in the Seahawks in their playoff game this weekend.
I think
that would
he's
mean
been
instant death.
No, he's been pretty, he's been doing okay.
I don't trust him. I don't like him one bit. But he would not reveal. He said I had to tune in today to find out, so I guess I'll be listening.
We have LaQuisha talking about a new TV show on MTV last night, which was Buck Wild.
Oh, mm-hmm. That sounds promising.
This is the Jersey Shore with Southern Idiots.
Excellent.
And it's
Appalachian, really, more than
Appalachian.
Southern, right? Well, West Virginia.
All right. Well, okay.
Let's be specific, Kevin.
Hicks. Yes.
Is that accurate?
Much so.
Right.
Very much so.
All right. So we got that today. We have a comedian Brad Williams in the studio.
Oh, good.
Always funny. We have Carrie Brownstein in the studio.
Yeah.
From Portlandia.
Yes.
Love her so much.
We have Matt Money Smith talking about the Lakers and the Clippers who played tonight.
It's a game that seems like it means something now.
Sort of does. Although I heard Blake Griffin talk about how the Clippers no longer prepare for the Lakers like they used to, which is...
Oh, that sounds like a mistake.
crosstown rivals and the guys right. that they need to beat because they've got a better record than the Lakers do.
Well, that should be interesting.
That's just another game. Movie beat because it's Friday. And we got some highlights of the KDOC. I don't know if you get to Channel 56 where you are, but they had a New Year's Eve broadcast. And it was magic. It was.
I missed something good, huh?
Magic. We do really bad bits on this radio station. Sometimes,
just like the one Bean did.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Not now that we've got this.
Sometimes they flop in a great way. This is an amazing fail. And I love it so much.
For hours?
For hours, yes.
Yes.
And I love it so much. So we're going to give you some highlights of that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is...
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on with you, man?
Ah, things are just happening.
Any specific things?
Nope.
Okay.
Bunch of things generally
I think happen. we've heard enough.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much. Let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat, shall we? This bothers me. George Lucas, after 30 years of being a bachelor, is giving married life another try. Us Weekly reports that he has popped the question to his longtime girlfriend, Melody Hobson. And so they're getting married. He was married to his first wife, Marcia, from 1969 to 1983. They had an expensive split up, and then he's going to get married again. I guess now that he sold Disney Lucasfilm for $4 billion.
Yeah.
He can afford to get married again. Look, worst case scenario, she takes $2 billion. He's still got $2 billion left, right?
It's a pretty bad scenario, but yeah.
But how do you even feel the difference between having $4 billion and $2 billion? You still can't spend all the money you have.
Yeah, true.
So he's got nothing to lose, I guess. Word is that he is going to digitally alter his girlfriend to make her more attractive by the time the wedding comes up. So. Make a few tweaks. Just a few tweaks. George likes to tinker. And I think he's going to spiff her up a little bit.
Going to add a few lines to the movie video. I mean, to the wedding video as well.
Ah!
To make sure that it's
did there.
Fantastic.
Is Britney Spears headed for another meltdown? Oh, God, I hope so. Those were good times.
Those were good times.
Remember her shaving her head and beating up an SUV with an umbrella and being sent to the hospital in a 5150? Ah, that was fun times.
That was fun.
She had a meltdown recently while filming a commercial for her fragrance fantasy twist, which, by the way, is my favorite at Pinkberry.
Is that right?
Yes. She was filming a commercial, and she had some insane demands that led her handlers to be concerned with her mental well-being. First of all, she demanded that exotic animals be flown in for the commercial. She had an idea for the commercial where she wanted to be surrounded by jungle animals.
Okay.
She wanted to do her own makeup.
Uh-oh. Excellent.
And lastly, demanded that Vanilla Ice do a duet with her in the commercial.
All right.
She's gone crazy.
Well, sounds pretty outrageous.
The word is the crazy animals didn't work for legal reasons. She messed up her makeup so badly, someone had to step in and redo it. And Vanilla Ice asked for $500,000 to do the commercial.
Does he know he's Vanilla Ice?
Apparently he does not.
Wow.
And so that didn't fly. So things did not work out the way she wished them to in her own fragrance commercial.
Wow.
Britney Spears. What about her?
Yeah, what about her indeed. It's nice when exes can still support each other. Carmen Electra is dating Simon Cowell still.
Okay.
And the one person who's stepping up and saying he's a lucky, lucky man is her ex-husband, Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman. He told the British tabloid The Sun that she's a great lady. Simon Cowell's very lucky. She's one sexy lady who knows how to have a good time, she says. Dennis claims he's slept with over 2,000 women and that Carmen Electra is still in the top 10.
Right.
Is that a compliment, Lisa?
Not coming from him.
I would think it would be.
No, you don't even want to be reminded. Women. No, you don't want to be reminded that she ever slept with him.
Huh?
I don't ever want to. I want to forget that she ever had sex with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But if it was you, right. But if you're Carmen Electra, you don't want to ever admit to that.
I see. Okay.
Well, why? She married him.
Ew. Look, it's all just a terrible part of her
history.
It was
a drunken one-night stand and she woke up ashamed. She married the dude.
Still
so
Dennis Rodman.
She did.
But it's still a compliment if a guy says, I've had sex with 2,000 women and you're in the top 10 of the 2,000 women I've had sex with. That's pretty good.
That's not bad. That's
pretty good in the record book.
Then don't you immediately want to know who's above you?
Yeah, it's true. Kim Kardashian. Sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian. Has some problems. One is that she's knocked up by an egomaniac and she's still married.
To someone else.
Chris Humphries, basketball player. Well, the good news is he will not move off of this divorce thing.
Love it.
I do too. I want him just to make her life a living hell. Where it is that she's furious that he continues to prolong the divorce proceedings. She has demanded to her lawyers that they get him to sign off on a divorce. But obviously they can only do so much. He is determined to get an annulment on the grounds of fraud. She will not give in to that demand, so she won't budge either. The best part is, if the whole thing heads to court, the trial will start 2 weeks before she's due to give birth.
Oh.
So a big, fat Kim Kardashian up on the stand in a courtroom in June is something we
Way
all
pregnant.
Should just cross our fingers and hope for.
Please make that happen.
And please have it be in a state where they put trials on television.
Yes. Have it in a state where they put it in a stadium where we can all go.
The Rose Bowl.
Get box seats and watch live. And I don't know. I don't know about this. Men's Health has just published a new list.
Okay.
The 100 hottest women of 2013.
The 100? What? Of 2013?
Yeah. These are the hottest women of the past 4 days.
What?
Isn't it a little early to start putting out your year lists, people?
Are they just guessing who's going to?
Here's what they have
Make
to say.
Make an impact?
Amber Heard, number 10.
Okay.
Now, listen, put Amber Heard at 10 on the list, this better be some list.
Yeah, no kidding.
Men's Health magazine, 9th on the list, Gisele Bündchen.
Well, hard to argue.
All right.
Both are good choices in the top 10.
I think the bloom's a little bit off the rose there on that.
Could
Gisele
be,
Bündchen.
Sure.
Amber Heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beyonce, 8th.
Mm-hmm.
7th, Angelina Jolie. 6th, Scarlett Johansson. Jennifer Aniston is 5th.
Oh,
come
please.
On.
Look, we've never gotten the total fascination of the world with Jennifer Aniston. She's a very attractive lady.
Yes.
And a great little performer.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
It seems like super nice. I like her. I got nothing against her at all.
Well, you guys co-starred with her in that movie.
Kevin and Bean's a rock star, yeah.
That's right.
But one of the 10 hottest women of 2013?
No.
I'm sorry, no.
Above Amber Heard? No.
I think Amber said this is the hottest woman of 2013.
Yeah, it's a
what
dumb list.
Next month some really hot girl shows up? You've already put your list out.
Yeah. Somebody's turning 18 next month. We don't even know yet.
Jennifer Lawrence is 4th.
Okay.
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, 3rd on the list.
All right.
Mila Kunis is 2nd.
Agreed.
Yeah, she has to be in the top 10.
Number 1, any guesses as to Men's Health who they think so far this year who the hottest woman is?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Will be there.
Amy Winehouse and or Glenda.
Both of them. Number 1 on the list?
Sofia Vergara?
Nope.
It's not Kim Kardashian.
Not Kim Kardashian, no. Musician. I'll give you a hint.
Musician.
Musician.
Courtney Love.
Yeah. Yes, Courtney Love.
I don't know.
Katy Perry.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, of course. Katy Perry. Guys, I've totally forgotten about her.
Yeah, I had too.
She's been off the radar a little bit.
I hate Katy Perry. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, hot.
Yeah.
But number one, after the hottest this year, where so many hot women have been around all year long.
For like 4 days, right? She hasn't done anything in the last 4 days.
I bet Leonardo DiCaprio had 4 chicks on his yacht in Australia for New Year's Eve that were hotter than some of the girls on that list.
Well, of course. I mean, that's the beauty of life. It's just an endless supply of just hot women everywhere you go. But if you're looking for the famous ones, some of these names... Yeah, Amber Heard, though, by the way. Number 10.
Giant size cans.
Get her up on the list. How do we
agree?
How do we vote Men's Health?
I don't think they have any vote because how do you make a list for 2013?
Well, the year's over. Come on, Kevin. The year's over.
It's ridiculous.
Today's celebrity birthdays as we look at the 4th of January. Don Shula, legendary Hall of Fame football coach Don Shula, 83 years old today. He coached the Miami Dolphins to the only perfect season in the NFL.
He did.
Chip is very happy right now. We're talking about the Miami
Dolphins.
Imagine
what he thinks now, though.
Oh, he must look at that team and go, what? What has become of you?
What happened?
Michael Stipe of REM is 53. Actor and comedian Dave Foley from News Radio and Kids in the Hall turns 50 years old today. And Charlene Yee, actress, comedian, screenwriter. She's in This Is 40 in theaters now.
She's the one who ruined House, right?
How dare you, sir? She was one of my co-stars on House, actually.
You're the one that ruined House.
I'm the one that ruined House. She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got your movie beat coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Then we'll talk to our old friend Matt Money Smith from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money radio show about the matchup tonight between your first place Los Angeles Clippers and your third place Los Angeles Lakers in the division. But there's a lot of basketball still to play this year. Yeah.
That's great news.
Hey, your team's been on a roll, man. They're almost at 500. Come on now.
Come on, 500.
It's all coming up this hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We make a lot of technical errors here. We are not professionals.
Mm-hmm.
We're not good. So it always kind of props us up a little bit, kind of gives us a little hope when we see somebody else that does things worse than we do. And I don't know if you I do know if you watch Channel 56 on New Year's Eve. You didn't. But Channel 56, KDOC.
We should talk about them for 1 second for folks who maybe don't live in the area where Channel 56 is. This is one of the last remaining independent TV stations, and they have been blazing their own path forever. They, for decades, had the crazy whack job Wally George TV show on, but they mostly get by running reruns. You know, they run shows from the 70s and 80s and stuff like that, but every once in a while they get up a hair up their butt that they're going to do something live and local. They're the station that used to put Kevin and Bean on all the time. We used to be on that station back in the 90s. Remember they had that Total Request Live show, I think they called it, or whatever it was called, show?
I'd rather people not remember that, Bean, if you don't mind.
Yeah. They used to put us on, so clearly they don't have a lot of standards in terms of the quality of the person that they hire. They're not going to spend big money to get a professional TV host in there and a professional team to put the broadcast together.
Right.
They're just gonna make it work with whoever happens to be in the building, and that's how you end up with what ended up on their air on New Year's Eve.
Unfortunately, Jamie Kennedy ended up in the building.
Jamie Kennedy.
Yes.
That's bizarre.
And he hosted the New Year's Eve show, and it was magic. A couple of different times they came back from commercial, and you would see the guy on stage with a microphone, and they'd all be talking like behind the scenes, and had no idea they were on. None whatsoever.
There's no one pointing at them.
There's no one saying in their little earpiece, hey, you're on. Nothing like that. So this is actual audio from their New Year's Eve show, and this gives me hope because we've done this 100 times as well. But I don't know how that we've ever done it this long where we didn't know we were on the air.
The efficiency. It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. They use a lot of F words.
Oh, no.
Which is great on television.
A lot of F words. And this is up at krock.com as well if you'd like to go listen to it and watch it.
Come on, man. Don't give me
I got to have
this. There's no camera.
To work on the show.
It should be right here. Roman
the new
right
movie
here.
Came out.
Where's our camera
guy? It's called Fairly Odd Christmas.
Okay.
As a live action.
Where's our stage manager?
Jamie, don't talk into the mic. They can hear you.
They can hear you.
Oh.
You ready to go?
All right, welcome back to 2013.
All right, so that happened.
Wow.
And by the way, the best part of that whole tape, if you can hear it, is the dude way in the back of the room who screams, Jamie, you're on! we're terrible on television, and I'm not saying we would have done any better if we'd have been in Jamie Kennedy's
shoes. Oh, I guarantee we would not have.
But if you know you're going on live television sometime in the next 30 seconds, isn't that your main priority is looking for a cue and making sure that you're ready to start talking when it's your time?
And making sure you're not swearing.
And not using the F word, right.
Right.
So at least they got that bug worked out.
Carl Jr.
It's supposed to be still.
Are we back? All right, going green never looked so good.
Yes, and then they went into a going green never looked so good piece.
And I can only imagine that was a local sponsor to underwrite the cost of the broadcast as some sort of environmental cause.
Probably it was
going green.
It was a relatively hot chick
But then she talks about ways to go green in 2013.
Nothing says New Year's Eve.
That's right.
Ways to go green.
Everybody started partying right then. So sometimes it's difficult to know who's next, who's up next in a show like this where you have revolving people where you toss it to one another.
We're going to throw things over to Jamie. Jamie, what's going on over there? Are you jealous that I'm hanging out with a hot Playboy model and a really hot burger?
Actually, it's me, Jesse Stustone. I wish I was Jamie Kennedy.
Nope, you don't.
No, you don't.
You do not wish you were Jamie Kennedy. Not at all. So then this guy, Stu, he's going to – I guess they're going to – the part of the deal was they have to show some Jamie Kennedy stand-up from a club.
Excellent.
And
because they didn't pay him.
What you're going to hear is a long, long, long dead space. We didn't change this at all. It's going to sound unnatural. It's going to sound like the clip ended, but it hasn't. Basically, what happens is the guy tosses it to a video piece, and then you see the last 4 seconds of the video, and then he comes back. Listen.
You'll see what I mean. Check this out.
This is instead of the video they're supposed to be playing.
Yeah.
A very funny man. Give it up for Jamie Kennedy.
Well, I can honestly say I have never laughed more at any of Jamie Kennedy's material.
That was it, by the way. That was the whole piece that they played. Let's give it up for Jamie Kennedy.
Do they have high school audiovisual students
no,
who are running the broadcast?
Much higher quality if they
okay.
did. They have Beer Mug there is who they had.
Hey.
All right, so then Macy Gray is singing. Now, she used to be a big deal.
A very big deal.
She's not a big deal anymore.
I guess not.
It's been a long time since she's sung anything that anybody cares about. And she appears higher than I've ever been.
All right, what time is it? How much time do we have? What time is it?
11:15.
10 minutes.
By the way, it was 11:50, and the guy said 12:50. Makes a big difference on New Year's Eve.
And when
it
you're
does.
High, it's yeah. very confusing.
What are you guys going to do at midnight? Why don't you just be early? 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. You guys sure are quiet for a bunch of people.
Sounds like you're yelling a lot to me.
A whole bunch of sexy people. All right, sing this song with me, okay? As loud as you can. Bring in the new year. Sing it. Sing your heart out.
What
Are
song?
You ready?
Yes.
If you don't know the words, just yeah.
Okay, that's my favorite. That's my favorite instruction. If you don't know the song, just yell.
That's what singers like.
Makes it sound good for everybody.
Here we go. Games changes.
And then she starts singing, and it's terrible. It's not.
Who are these people? Where are they?
I don't know. Again, you can see it at krock.com if you want to go watch the video. So now she's talking to a guy who's standing there with his mom.
And this is still Macy Gray?
No. This is, back to the regular show.
Okay, all right. Jimmy Kennedy.
Talks to a guy who's standing next to his mom, and this is how that went.
What's your name, sir?
Talon, mother...
Hey, it is New Year's Eve 2013. What is your name?
His mother.
Very nice. Another musical act, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, I remember them, sure, from the 90s.
A couple of F words. By the way, just for the record, we beeped all of the F words and all the cursing. They did not.
Right.
Just well, went out.
They're not cursing any more than their broadcast team did.
Went out live. Yeah, that's true. Jamie Kennedy back on talking to a voluptuous black woman.
They say once you go black,
you never go back.
Yeah, well, I'm saying you should try white.
I love white.
Because it'll keep your very tight. Bleep that. Bleep that.
Ah, I'm crazy. Bleep that. Oh, look what I just said. Bleep
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
What up at this point in the broadcast leads him to believe that anyone's bleeping anything?
I don't know. They didn't, by the way. We did. They didn't. Yeah. So now it's Bone Thugs and Harmony, and everybody else on stage, Macy Gray and JB Kennedy, they're wrapping things up now. They're closing things out for the show. And you'll hear.
2013, it's been an unbelievable night. We want to thank everyone who came out. GTK, Macy Gray, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Shannon Elizabeth, Bridget Marquardt.
She's me for a second, isn't she?
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
That's some heavy rotation.
And then at the very end, when they're saying goodbye, a fight breaks out on the stage. At the very end.
God bless you, and we'll see you in 2024.
Good night.
Bye.
I don't know if that's a joke.
There's a fight. It's ending with a fight. It's ending with a fight. Guys, please. God bless it. Get out. Go to a cartoon. Jesse, come down.
Happy New Year, everybody. Good night.
Yeah, all right. Oh. So Channel 56.
They got to make it a weekly show. They can't do this once a year.
Good work. That was fantastic.
And the audience looked pissed.
Matt Money Smith joins us in moments talking
Communism.
Basketball.
Shoes.
Right now it's Ralph Garman, and Friday means the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
After the Christmas season blockbusters, and before the Oscars, there is a lull.
Uh-oh.
There is a dry spell in theaters that means studios will release smaller films because
that they know
there's not a lot of competition out there in the for the box office dollar. Or studios will just dump whatever they have in their garbage disposals to get them out there. And,
yeah, it's cleaning out the closet time.
Yeah. So this is what we have to deal with this weekend. Here are some of your choices. First is a small film. We actually talked to Andy Garcia earlier this week about this film. He plays a CIA operative who is a political talk show host. He is hired by a corporate whistleblower to expose her company's cover-up of a massacre in a South American village. Andy Garcia, a great actor, stars in A Dark Truth along with Forrest Whitaker and Eva Longoria. The director is Damian Lee. In this particular scene I'm about to play for you, Andy Garcia is trying to convince Forrest Whitaker and Eva Longoria to come with him because he believes that their lives may very well be in danger.
My wife, she doesn't trust you.
I know.
She thinks that our family won't be safe.
Is your family safe here? How long can they live like this?
How long can anyone live? The answer is always the same until we die.
Come with me. We will stop Clearback from doing what they did here in other countries.
How do you know they listen to us?
You have to trust me. Francisco, you must trust me. You must trust me.
You must trust me.
I saw this movie, by the way, Ralph.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's better than you think it will be, but it's not worth seeking out.
Well,
better than you think.
I thought it was going to be okay.
All right.
Is it better than okay?
Yeah, it's better than okay, but there's a lot of scenes like that where it just seems like it's a little heavy-handed, you know what I mean? It's a little overly dramatic.
So, watch it at home on
if you got nothing else going on, it's not going to kill you, but you mentioned, you know, Forrest Whitaker and Andy Garcia are both very competent actors, so yeah, it's fine.
This is a movie where someone's trying to get people not to die, which goes flies in the face of everything Bean stands for.
See, that's true. Maybe that's what it is.
I can see why this is a movie he would not enjoy, because Andy Garcia is trying to stop people from dying, and you know Bean loves the death.
Who needs that?
So
second opinion on Bean. Sorry.
That's right. Also opening this weekend, Promised Land. This is a new movie by director Gus Van Sant. Matt Damon and John Krasinski star, as well as being the screenwriters for this film. It's about it's another tale of a big city guy coming to a small town. He learns important lessons of life from the wholesome all-American spirit of the small town denizens, who teach him an important lesson in how to deal with people and matters of the heart.
You love these.
Oh, nothing better. Nothing makes me happier than a guy from the big city with all kinds of book learning going down to a small town somewhere and having someone just change his life with their homespun wisdom and their small town ways. F you. You know what? You want to cure yourself of this delusion that small town people have some sort of wisdom? Watch a couple hours of Buck Wild over there on MTV. That'll straighten you right out from this kind of fallacy. Anyway, it looks to be heartwarming enough, I suppose. Matt Damon plays a salesman for a natural gas company who's trying to tap into the natural resources of this small town, buy up a bunch of land, and John Krasinski is his foe in that matter. He's trying to help these people save their land, and it's all very well and good. John Krasinski, in this scene, talks to Matt Damon and Frances McDormand about, you know, what's important in life.
See, I know everything about your company. I know what you do. I know how to beat it.
You know how to beat... Wait, no. Oh, good. By telling bullshit. Sob stories and singing Springsteen.
Sorry.
He's really a kid that doesn't understand that he is in way over his head on this one. We've already signed more than enough leases to start development in this town. Too late.
I really wouldn't underestimate these people.
I don't. But we appreciate what you're doing, and we would like to make a donation to your organization.
Ah, see what they're trying to do? Trying to buy him off. Oh, but small town won't get bought off, not by big city. No, because he knows the ways of life and love and matters of the heart.
Isn't it possible this could be good, though, Ralph, just because John Krasinski and Matt Damon both seem like such solid, smart guys?
And Frances McDormand seems.
Yeah.
No, look, great cast, great director. I'm not saying it couldn't be well done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it's built on a false premise. But I'm sure it's heartwarming. I'm sure the good guys win in the end. And I bet Matt Damon learns an important lesson.
Probably,
it's all said and done. The Impossible also opens up this weekend, expanded into wide release. And Naomi Watts, Ewan McGregor, Tom Holland. This is a story based on truth about that horrible tsunami that took so many lives. And Naomi Watts and McGregor are playing family vacationing when they are struck with one of the worst natural catastrophes of all time. It hasn't been that long. In fact, some would say this movie, too tsunami when it comes to...
Is that right? That's what they would say?
Talking about this disaster. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I saw the trailer for this past weekend, and it looked great.
It looks pretty...
Looks amazing.
It rattles you when you see...
Yeah. It'd be tough for a parent to go see this movie, I'm told.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. Here's a scene where Ewan McGregor calls a character named Henry and tells him that Maria and Lucas were swept away.
Did you hear from anyone yet?
No, Henry, you're the first to call. Is everybody all right? Henry?
Maria and Lucas are not here.
What do you mean, not there? The
water came and swept everyone away. And I found Thomas and Sam and Maria and Lucas.
Henry?
I don't know what to do. I don't know where to look for them. Lots of people need to use this for, okay? That was calling it.
Henry?
Well, I hope there's subtitles.
Hey, how about being a little more clear if you want help?
Hey, he's upset. People have been swept away. Have a heart. You need John Krasinski to teach you a thing or two about love and life, Kevin.
Maybe I'll go see that one first.
Maybe you will. And lastly, it's the return of Leatherface. That's right, people. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre returns, this time in 3D. So you get to see the chainsaw. It's flesh flying. It is the return of the legendary horror franchise. A young woman travels to Texas to collect an inheritance. She inherits this home from her grandmother. Little does she know the secrets that dwell inside that home.
Welcome to Texas, mother...
Did you hit him?
I don't know.
Did you hit him?
I don't know.
Something coming. Back up.
Back up! Back up, Nick!
She should have backed up.
Should have shot him better. I'm going to pull a gun. You shoot it.
That's right. You shoot to kill.
John Krasinski would teach you that in a small town. You knew anything. Those are your picks for the weekend. Just nothing. Just nothing I'm interested in seeing. That tsunami thing looks way too depressing. I don't need to learn any important lessons from John Krasinski.
I think you do.
Andy Garcia, good luck down there in South America, but I'm not really interested. And I do not want to see pretty girls carved up with a chainsaw.
Well, you're going to have to see something that was left over you haven't seen yet.
I you know what I'd do?
Right.
I'd buy Ted on DVD. That's what I would do. I would just go out and buy myself a Ted, take it home, and just watch that hilarious film, Ted. I would watch Ted. That's what I would do.
Right.
Because every DVD sold.
Is there a shaky dude at the beginning?
Puts a little money in somebody's pocket. That's all I care about.
He's the kid's dad. That guy is weak.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
A lot of shows still coming up, including our friend Brad Williams, comedian Funny Brad on Twitter, will be here just after 7 o'clock. Actress Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia joins us, too. How about Matt Money Smith for the first time making an appearance in 2013 on The Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Money, how are you, buddy?
What's happening, guys? Happy New Year.
You, too. Thank you for the Christmas card. I feel bad for you. Every year, as your daughters get another year older, I think your life is going to get miserable one day.
A couple steps away, man, from buying some guns and intimidating young men.
What a beautiful family Money's got. Well, listen.
Hey, Money, I'm your girlfriend. I'm your daughter's boyfriend. How are things going at home?
It's inevitable. It's already happened with having three daughters. It's inevitable. That's next.
We definitely want the word out there that you are armed. Let's make sure everybody knows
that.
There
you go.
So tonight's a big night for basketball fans, huh?
Well, it's a bigger night. It's funny, you know, I don't know what team it's a bigger night for, because obviously the Lakers at 15 and 16, this is the beginning of a nasty stretch. I mean, they're playing five playoff teams, teams that are currently qualified for the playoffs in a row. You got Oklahoma City in there, Houston and San Antonio on the road, Oklahoma City I mentioned already, and of course the Clippers. It's a bad deal. I mean, and they're playing bad. I mean, they are not.
Yes, they don't are.
Good, even though they've won 5 of 7. And, you know, we had Mitch Richmond on yesterday, and he made a good point. He said, you know, when you have a team that's this talented, that's struggling, he said, and you're on another squad in the rest of the league, you are all about just kicking them while they're down and doing everything you can to make sure they don't get into the playoffs and can put all that talent to use. He's like, so every one of these teams is supremely motivated to make sure they beat the Lakers when they're playing crappy.
I got to tell you, I'm a Laker fan, long time me. And
wow, put that in the archives.
And it's frustrating to watch. It's really frustrating to watch when a team doesn't play defense. To me, when a team doesn't play defense, they're just not trying, because anyone can play defense.
And that's why Dwight Howard's so miserable. I mean, this is arguably the best defensive player the league has seen. You know, from a center standpoint, I mean, he's leaps and bounds better than Shaquille O'Neal was defensively, Tim Duncan defensively, Yao Ming defensively. When you talk about the big men that we've seen in this league, I mean, you know, I guess you have to probably go all the way back to Hakeem Olajuwon to get a defender that's been this good at that position. And he continually and repeatedly looks bad because his team doesn't rotate behind him, you know, and it drives him batty. I mean, it's
and this,
really
this all comes from the this is the coach then. This is the coach's fault we're talking about now, right?
No, I mean, it's as Kevin said, I mean, it's effort. It's effort and commitment. And, I mean, you could put some of it on Mike D'Antoni, because the guys are running up and down the floor as much as they are. They're just tired, you know, and they're tired. And as Kobe said, they're old as F. And
sure.
they don't want to rotate, because that's, you know, that doesn't show up in the box score. That's not scoring. That's just, and that may have nothing to do with the play. All it is moving off your guy to the next guy to make sure he doesn't get the pass
right
open. And that's just not all that glamorous.
I went to a Clipper game over the holiday for a charity thing.
Oh, how about that? Oh, for a charity thing. Yeah, it wasn't for any entertainment purpose.
It wasn't, because I'm not a Clipper fan. But I got to tell you, not being a Clipper fan, it's fun to watch.
Of course.
That's a fun team to watch. You know why? They're trying.
Well, and they're good.
Then they're good.
They're really good. I mean, that squad, Chris Paul's the third best player in the league.
Agreed.
I mean, and it's not even close. I mean, he, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James have separated themselves from everybody else this season, and I hope he gets the MVP, because that team is nothing without him. I don't like their coach. He's not that good. And Chris Paul really has just taken that team and said, listen, that guy over there with the hairy chest and the feathered hair, just ignore him.
Listen to
me. I'm going to lead you guys to places you've never been before. And that's what he does. You know, when they fall behind, he just gets on the floor and tells them to climb on and carries them to wins. And it really is a lot of fun to watch.
How often do you see a 17-game winning streak on any NBA team?
Rarely. And that is elite territory. When you start talking 15 and above, especially that they got to 17, I want to say 18 is even better. I know that's just one game. But
sure.
If you get to 18, I think there's been 9 teams that have had an 18-game win streak. And of those 9, 8 of them have made the conference finals, 6 of them have made the finals, and 5 of them won a championship.
Wow, that's an interesting stat.
Yeah, that's real elite territory.
So when Kobe comes out, like he did in the LA Times this morning, I guess it is his meeting the media yesterday, and says the Clippers are spectacular and they're championship contenders and stuff like that, does he mean that, or is he just trying not to inflame, you know, the rivalry and the bulletin board material and blah, blah, blah?
Kobe, it happened, I think, in the 2008 finals, the one they lost against the Celtics before they won their 2 in a row. he turned into that crusty old man that doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks, what he says. I mean, it just, he just started dropping vulgarities and saying things that he never really, he just started avoiding all the cliches and saying whatever he wanted. And I think he does, I think he's sincere when he says that. You know, before, he'd probably disparage his opponent a little bit and remind everyone, oh, we got those 16 banners up there. I don't give a crap what they're doing in the regular season. But I think now, at this point in his career, you know, maybe in his final two seasons, he just says, hey, look, they're really good. They're fun to watch, and they're great.
I know a lot of fans seem to get upset at Kobe when he criticizes his own team, but I'm glad he's saying it, and I wish more people were saying it.
Yeah.
They're playing.
The one thing I will say is Kobe needs to criticize himself a little bit more, you know, and that's the one thing he doesn't do enough.
What would you put on him, Money?
He's playing horrible defense. Horrible defense. I mean, he is as much a part of that problem as anyone. He stands around. He is so committed to the offensive end that he's just floating around the perimeter. The fact that he's been on an all-defensive team the last half decade is an embarrassment. He has been terrible. And he was, look, he used to be really good. I mean, he was committed. And here's, I mean, just to get a little technical, if you really want to kind of get into the game of basketball, the best thing to do is watch away from the ball. Don't watch the ball. Wherever the ball is, ignore it and just watch everyone else and what they're doing and how they're moving without the ball to try to create a passing lane or what they're doing with their defender. And if you do that on defense with Kobe, you'll basically, I mean, if his shorts had pockets, his hands would be in them.
Wow.
That's how uncommitted he is on that side of the ball.
All right, let me ask you this question, Money. We're running out of time, unfortunately, already. But do you think the fact that the Lakers look so good on paper is what's giving them the confidence to say, eh, so what?
No.
So we're 15-16. We'll pull it off.
If it wasn't Steve Nash, and I mean, these are uber competitive guys.
Right.
You know, that don't like losing a regular season game.
But I'm saying it's like a UFC fighter that knows he has a one punch knockout power that he can take a lot of punishment and it's okay because later in the fight he'll.
Here's the way I'll put it, Ken. Do they have a safety net because they're so talented? Sure. And if they get in the playoffs, will they be dangerous regardless of seed? Yes. If right now, just based on the winning percentages through almost half a season, these are not just a handful of games, this is almost half a season, they would have to go 41-10, 41-10 over their last 51 games just to get to the 5 seed. And that's going to put them in a first-round matchup with either the Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Spurs, or the Oklahoma City Thunder, the elite teams this season.
Wow.
That's the kind of run they have to go on. Yes. So
this game tonight, a win means more for the Lakers than it does for the Clippers then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even though it puts the Clippers in a 3-game losing streak and was the 17-game streak a fraud and all that, no question. Because if they win tonight and then they beat, like I said, the Rockets, the Spurs, the Thunder, and all these playoff teams they're going to have to face through this stretch, then they can say, all right, Dwight's getting healthy. We're starting to get the hang of this.
Right.
Steve Nash is back. We're in rhythm. Then it's a big deal for them. So, yeah, this is the first step.
The beginning of the end for the Clippers, though, if you're looking for it, is that Bieber showed up at one of their games over the holidays, right? And no one wants that. No one wants that, right?
Curse!
He's Canadian.
All right.
He's cheering on Steve Nash.
Great stuff, as always. Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show, heard weekday afternoons on AM 570 KLEC. You are the best, man. Happy New Year. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Oh, you guys are the best. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye. Our favorite Oompa Loompa, Brad Williams, joins us after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Hey, I wonder if he knows those guys you were talking about in Britain yesterday, Ralph. We got to ask him.
He must.
They all know each other.
They all know each other.
Remember that French actress that Bean wanted to know if he knew?
The French-Canadian actress?
French-Canadian, yeah.
No, but we asked Berenice Marlowe, a French actress, if she knew her.
But he thought she was French.
They both speak French.
You know each other.
She's French-ish. There's
only 80 million people in French. You should know each other.
Yeah, and she's from Canada.
Right, I know. But it turned out that way, yeah, but Bean didn't. I'm saying I think Brad probably knows the little people you were talking about in Britain yesterday. That's all. They've got some sort of a network or something,
they
I bet.
Have very tiny phones. They call each other.
First, though, time for the show. Show Biz Bean now.
Well, how are you? I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, well, good news, people. Cy is now our neighbor.
He moved here?
Yes. What do you do with all that money when you go Gangnam Style?
But he hates America and Americans, though, Ralph.
What are you talking about? That song he sang called "The Effing Yankees, Let's Kill Them All." Remember that, Kevin? Remember that song?
Kevin probably
missed that song.
Probably missed that story.
I may have missed that one. Yeah, before his hit "Gangnam Style," he also had another song called "Kill All the Effing Yankees, Kill Their Daughters and Their Wives."
Wow!
The Effing Yankees who
are imperialists who try to ruin people's lives.
Ralph, do you ever hear my my message from Cy?
Your what now?
Message on my cell phone from Cy?
No, I never have.
You ever heard of that? Yeah.
Kevin, how are you? My name is Cy. Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Yeah, I'm Cy. How are you? I heard that you're the first guy in the whole U.S. founder that who plays my song. The very first time and the very first person.
Thank you. Thank you. It was an internet roundup, but thank you. And he didn't mention anything about hating America.
He didn't?
F America. None of that.
The Yankees?
No, none of that. Odd.
Yeah, he's taking some of all that money he made from Gangnam Style and bought himself a big-time condo on Wilshire Boulevard, the exclusive Blair House. He just shut out $1.3 million for a two-bedroom condo.
Wow.
Yeah. At this rate, Cy's not going to have his money for long. You know what, Cy? Maybe you should have stayed in Seoul and just put all that money in a sock somewhere and open yourself up a nice little Kung Pao stand or whatever it is that they eat there. And just get yourself a nice little restaurant and start a business. Maybe don't go blowing $1.5 million on a condo.
Isn't he hugely successful over there, though? I mean, wouldn't that... I mean, he probably has the money.
Yeah, he doesn't have this kind of money. He's never had this kind of money before. And he's not going to have this kind of money for long, I'm telling you.
What about all of his follow-up hits that are sure to come, though?
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be asking to do a duet with Britney Spears in our next perfume commercial.
I was surprised to find out that over the holidays that Cy is 38 years old. It's hard to tell when you look at him if he's 20 or if he's 80. I didn't know what he was, but I didn't think he was going to be that old. 38.
I would have guessed 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He looks like a middle-aged Korean businessman.
Yeah.
Like a guy you'd see loaded in Vegas on some sort of convention.
Well, it'd be interesting to know if we even remember him 1 year from today.
You will when he puts his condo up for sale.
when that's in the news. That guy from that video.
We're talking about
that,
how he has to take a bath on the condo that he's upside down on and needs to unload it. That's what we'll be talking about.
When we're buying it for $400,000.
That's right. And we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I guess before the holiday break, about Bronson Pelletier. He is one of the shapeshifters from Twilight. He's one of the wolf boys.
Sure.
He was Jared
In
that film, and he was arrested in Los Angeles for public intoxication and also, you know, urinating in public. You remember the story? He was too loaded to get on a flight.
It was LAX, wasn't it?
Yeah, LAX. And the people there were kind enough to say, you know what? You're too drunk. You cannot fly. So we're going to send you over to this other gate. We're going to put you on a later flight and give you a chance to sober up a little bit. And he balked, and they escorted him over to the other gate. And when he got to the second gate, he promptly unzipped and urinated there at the gate on the carpet.
Well, sometimes you have to go, Lisa. What do you mean?
Well, and they don't have a lot of bathrooms at the airport. That's true. A good point.
Plus, he is a werewolf, so he was probably just marking his territory.
Right. Oh, that could be, yeah.
So there was everybody said, well, allegedly. And he said it never happened. Well, the video broke yesterday on the internet of someone pulled out a camera phone and took a video of Bronson there relieving himself at LAX. You
can't really get away with anything these days.
No.
Cell phones.
No, that video, I'm sure, will come up in the court room when he is being charged. The video, they say, was leaked.
Leaked?
Yes.
See what you did?
Because he's an idiot! Leaked. And we were talking just yesterday about Hawaii Five-0 and Dean's love of that TV series. Well, CBS has announced that they're doing something interesting with their rebooted Hawaii Five-0 series, which is currently on the air and a big hit.
Huge hit.
They're letting CBS viewers decide how an episode will end. They've shot in three alternate endings for this episode.
Okay.
And viewers at home will be able to vote at CBS.com or on Twitter as to which one of the suspects in the episode actually pulled off the crime.
What's your level of interest in that kind of interactive experiment? Zero.
There has not been a device invented yet that can measure how little I care about that kind of stuntery.
When I want to watch TV, I want them to entertain me.
Do your job, people.
Right.
Pick an ending and show it to me.
It does seem like a lack of commitment to an excellent storyline on behalf of the writers.
Well, apparently
they don't care who really
Well, maybe they ended in three
good
ways.
Three
great endings. They just don't know which one to use.
Yeah, all right.
Monday, January the 14th, you can watch the show and then pick the ending you like, and whoever gets the most votes, that's the ending they will show.
The ending that I like is the one where Sofia Vergara is in a bar brawl at a Miami nightclub.
Yeah,
that's the ending I choose.
I do not believe that's an option. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Diane Cannon who used to be known as an actress. I think these days she's best known still for sitting courtside at the Lakers games.
Yeah.
76 years old today. Don Shula, Hall of Fame football coach. He is 83 years old. Michael Stipe of REM is 53. Dave Foley celebrates his 50th birthday today. Actress Julia Ormond. She was, I guess she first came to fame in that Brad Pitt movie, Legends of the Fall.
Oh, yeah.
She was the love interest in that film. She also did Sabrina, the remake of that classic film with Harrison Ford and Greg Kinnear.
She's in Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button. But recently, she is known as the mother of Don Draper's wife on Mad Men. The French mom. French-Canadian mom.
The one that Roger had that encounter with.
I'm saying? She's 48 years old, and Charlene Yee from House. And this is 40. She's an actress and comedian, 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
It's the return of LaQuisha later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, actress Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia joins us next hour, and comedian Daryl Lennox. Speaking of comedians, Happy New Year, Brad Williams.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
That's not offensive to say Happy New Year. Little people are on the same calendar as regular people, right?
We are, and now December is past, so we're done working.
We're good.
We are on break right now.
11 months break.
Yeah, we're fantastic. Which, by the way, December's got to be the worst month to be a midget, just to let you guys know, because going to the malls is impossible.
Yeah.
A, you have to deal with malls in general. B, all the kids running up like, I want a bike, I want an Xbox, like trying to cut in line. Like, and the parents are lazy, like, let's take you to see the cheap Santa elf in the tracksuit. Like, stop it. I'm trying to buy a Snuggie, people. Come on.
Brad Williams is here because he is in town doing a hometown stand of shows at the Brea Improv, along with your great podcast partner, the very funny Adam Ray. You guys are doing two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night, and one show on Sunday. Are there tickets still available? This has to be close to sold out.
I talked to Bray Improv last night. It's getting close. It's getting close to sellout, so call soon, get your tickets. We did a show last night. It was a blast. I'm glad to be back home. Because for New Year's, I was doing shows in Columbia, Missouri, which, if you were watching the news, they got 2 feet of snow in a day.
All right.
Oh, man.
A day!
Fantastic.
You almost died.
And by the way, 2 feet of snow for Brad is way different than 2 feet for us.
That, like, and all the people there are like, oh, it's just 2 feet of snow. It happens every year. It's no big deal. I'm 4 feet effing tall. No, like, maybe it's not a big deal for you. You trip, you fall, your knee gets wet. It's winter time.
Right.
I trip and fall, I die, okay? I don't want that to happen. I got scared. I had to, like, duct tape a pole with a flag on me and just, like, walk around.
Sure.
Have one of those St. Bernards with the whiskey coming up to, like, dig me out if that happened.
No, that's smart. What about when, hometown show seems like a good idea, but I would imagine your family, who you're close to, and they're very supportive. I mean, is that distracting for you when you're doing your very filthy act on stage and you look out and there's, mom?
Well, mom, I've developed a thing with mom where I give a signal on stage and she knows that's when the sex jokes are coming.
Is that right?
Yeah, and she leaves. So
really?
Yeah, she just gets up and leaves.
What's the signal? You grab your crotch?
Yeah, exactly. Right here! Right here, Fullerton!
Mom,
what's
Mom
up?
This is for you!
Yeah, but it's
no,
weird.
What is the signal?
It's literally like, I just kind of like grab my ear or do something like that, and then she knows, okay. And because of that, I put all the sex jokes at the end of the act. So
because she's not coming back.
No. I don't want her to go in and out. Like, that's confusing. But then it's always interesting when I hear stories about the people who have literally known me since I was a kid, because I've lived in Fullerton, California my entire life.
Right.
They come up to my mom afterward. They're trying to do that compliment thing, but it's got kind of like the backhandedness to it.
Sure.
Like, his material was interesting. it was informative. I didn't know dwarves would do doggy style standing up. I'm fascinated by that.
As a comedian, do you want the compliment of interesting?
You know,
is
what?
Anything other than funny good?
You know, when it's people that literally, like, raised me as a kid, then I like
then
it.
You're all right.
But yeah. If it's anyone else, it comes up who I just met who goes, that show was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
no, yeah, that I don't like that.
That seems bad.
Funny was works. Was playing the Brea Improv, was that a huge deal for you the first time you did it? In other words, was that the type of thing as a young comedian that you really set your sights on because it was local?
Yeah, well, that's the spot where I knew I wanted to be a comedian, at the Brea Improv.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I was there watching a comedian perform, and the comic, I had never done stand-up before, the comic started doing midget jokes, and half the crowd's laughing, and the crowd that's sitting by me is like, ahem.
Were they offended on your part? Were they just afraid you were?
There's one in the audience. There's one over here.
Exactly. That's what happened. And the comedian noticed that, and he goes, what? Is one of them here? And I raised my creepy little hand in the air, and I'm like, what's up, dude?
And he didn't see it, so the person next to you raised his hand.
Yeah, so then they raised me up like Simba, like, ah, the mania! Finally, he saw me, and he just called me up on stage, and I had never done stand-up before, but he started asking me questions. I answered him, and in the process got laughs. I remember the first question was, so what do you do for a living? And at the time, I was like, I work at Disneyland, because I did.
Sure.
And he's like, well, funny enough, right there. And right then, that was my heroine,
wow.
Right there.
Wow.
I was like,
you were hooked at that point.
Now I got to do it. Now, 10 years later, I get to come back and perform for real with my name on the marquee. It's fun.
Isn't that interesting that that's almost just happenstance. That's like right place, right time to get hit with a bolt of lightning, really.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Because you weren't thinking comedy at all. You were a funny person already to your friends and family, but you had never considered a career in comedy.
Yeah, the same way I wasn't really thinking about coming on the Kevin and Bean Show until I went to the Miss Double December pageant, humped Danielle's leg, and now here I am.
That was the beginning
the
of all
history.
A beautiful relationship.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I want to mention again the Brea Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, BreaImprov.com. Tickets just $17 to see Brad and Adam. Now,
is that all?
I know, right? You're getting ripped 20. Off, dude.
I'm losing money here.
It's $20 for a full side per, you know what I mean.
Our second moment win.
All right.
Can I try that again?
I've never witnessed that before.
It's $20 for a full size performance.
That was beautiful, Kevin.
That
come
was fantastic.
Can that already be on the best of for next
up,
year?
That
very
was
possibly.
An interception
shut
in the
up,
end
Bean.
Zone and a run back 110 yards for a touchdown.
That was better than the Mark Sanchez butt fumble.
That wasn't better than a Mark Sanchez butt fumble.
My question is, how does it work when Adam is on the bill with you? Because you guys do the podcast together.
Sure.
Do you do stuff on stage together, or is one of you opening for the other?
Adam opens for me, and then I come on. We don't really do stuff together, but it's cool because now people can finally like see Adam, see me, that where they usually just listen to the podcast mm-hmm. called About Last Night, which you can listen to, where a Jew and a midget make hilarity. that's my little tagline. And and then we go out and just have a great time. I really like performing with Adam. He really compliments my style. We've known each other forever. So, and he is literally about to be a huge star.
Oh, is that right?
He's got a movie coming out with Sandra Bullock in April where he plays like the bad guy in the film. So
no
he's a,
kidding.
So he's about to be a genuine star.
He's going to have a real career.
I know.
Is he going to dump you as a podcast?
Well, he's going to forget about the little people.
Yeah, sure.
As most people do.
That's right.
Screw you, Adam Ray. Who gave you your break?
We have to take a break. Our friend Brad Williams is here. Brea Improv this weekend. More in a moment right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K.
I love the people who tweet me that they find it funny that I already did a moment with, as if I have any control over it whatsoever. Like, I just do it when I want.
Sure.
That's not the case.
Quit stalling.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Dude, I'm losing money here.
It's $20 for a full side per, you know what I mean.
Our second moment win.
All right.
Can I try that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Oh, I missed you guys.
That was so great.
Dude, you're 2 for 2 already in the new year.
Great.
That's fantastic.
We are having some fun, aren't we?
Brad Williams is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, along with his hilarious podcast partner, Adam Ray, from the About Last Night podcast, available on iTunes or GoCast Network, are going to be performing this weekend. That's tonight, Saturday and Sunday at the Brea Improv. You were there last night already, right?
Yeah, I was there last night. And here's the thing. I knew that I had to do this radio this morning, so I was determined just to go home, go to sleep, get some rest so I can be funny.
That's everybody's plan.
That's everyone's plan.
Right.
But then there was a female, and she had some interest.
Female trumps Kevin and Beanshell.
They do.
It should.
But, all right, how am I going to say this on radio? I got back to her place, and something happened to me that has never happened before.
Okay.
I can't say this word on air, but you know when, like, someone stops you from getting laid? They call that a...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right. A C-block.
Yes. I got C-blocked by a baby gate.
By a...
What?
Wait. By a baby gate that's no taller than a baby.
Yeah. Well, yeah, those little gates that you put in your hall so your baby doesn't go from one room into the other room.
Right. Sure.
I got okay, here's what happened. So we come in from the garage and there's the baby gate in the hallway and she just steps over it like it's nothing.
Right.
I'm sitting there like the tiniest Mexican looking over the fence like, "Oh crap."
Right?
Like that, you know, freedom is just on the
but
other
you
side.
You see a girl on the other side, don't you just lower your head and run it
no,
over?
No, I give up. I tapped
what?
Out. I gave up.
Where did you give up?
There is no recovering from that when you have to look up at a woman and go, boost.
That's true.
You can't recover from that. No woman has ever picked up the man she was about to sleep with,
if you
put him down and then go, oh, I am so horny right now.
If you
that
kick
never
it down or run it down, now you're the man.
No, then I kicked over a baby gate.
You're right.
That's not like toppling the Roman Colosseum or anything. It's a baby gate.
Did you just lower your head and turn around and walk back to your car?
Yeah. Oh. Pretty much. I tapped out. So
that's too bad.
That's why there's no dwarf thieves, is because you just throw up a baby gate and you're safe.
Wow.
But now, ladies, what I'm trying to say is if you want to hook up with a dwarf at some point, no baby gates. But on the plus side, if you definitely want it to happen, put those little stairs next to your bed. They're designed for dachshunds.
Yes.
So the dog can get on
the
bed.
Best. I love those.
Do you find yourself having to get a running start with some of the higher beds?
Yeah. I got like a Fallsbury flop and like one, two. Just do a little flying leap there.
Would you get on all fours on the ground, please?
Really? We're going to start now?
No, I just need a boost.
I need a boost. I'm fascinated how this works, Brad, because you're very popular with the ladies. They see your show. And you and Lisa, you'll back me up on this. Brad exudes a great amount of sexual confidence and energy when he's on. I mean, he makes you curious. Hey, this might be fun, right?
Yeah.
So do you, I mean, like you oftentimes will meet a girl at a show and you'll just go back to her place. That's the thing. Now, do you follow them in your car? Do you get a ride with them or how does it work?
Oh, I don't like for them to drive because then that puts me at their mercy.
Sure.
Yeah. Like whatever they do. Like, we need to go to Denny's for 4 hours and sober up.
Right.
No.
No, I'll take my own car and get out of here.
I'll take my own car. I need an escape route.
Yeah. So, plus, you don't want to have the embarrassment, just like with the baby gate or the bed, with trying to get into their car and needing a boost there, too. That's potentially... Right?
That literally happens. Like, you're saying that as a joke, but if you have, like, an SUV...
An SUV, yeah.
And
Brad has stilts on his on his brake pedal and on his gas pedal, so...
I do. And
he's all good.
And I drive a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
Right.
Not for the joke, just so I can easily make a quick getaway.
He doesn't park well, but he can drive.
Shut it.
But it is so fascinating. Because for the woman, it's almost a can't-lose situation. Because if it's great, they've had great sex. If it's not great, they still have had – they've experienced the little person, which is what they wanted in the first place, right? They can't lose.
That is right after Grand Canyon on what's on your bucket list.
Is that right?
That's like number two.
It's pretty far up there.
It's right there. Right. It works out. Now, I was listening coming in here, and you guys had another little people story, right?
Yes. The Oompa Loompas, yeah.
Yeah. So what happened? Oompa
Ralph
Loompas?
Ralph had a story about a guy who got followed by and beat up by a couple of little people who were dressed as Oompa Loompas. And we were saying, look, if that happens, first of all, hilarious. But second of all, no one's ever going to believe that story. They'll always think that you were drunk and you're making it up.
Yeah. And who goes to the cops and be like, cops, I was just assaulted. All right. Can you describe the individuals that assaulted you? 3'5", and right then the cop's laughing.
Sure,
right,
of course.
Then the sketch artist just throws down his pen and says,
course.
No way.
I can't do this.
Absolutely not. But you said they were dressed as Oompa Loompas?
Yes, completely. Make up the whole deal.
See, that makes sense to me, because if I'm going to assault someone or do some sort of crime, I'm easily picked out of a lineup. you know, there's only so many of us, so you got to put on a little disguise. You know what I mean? You got to put on the Oompa Loompa thing.
I can see that for them, yeah, because then it would make it a lot harder to, you know, recognize. But
sure.
For you, you could do anything. You could kill somebody and Wee Man would get arrested.
Yeah. So. You hear that, Wee Man? Cops are coming for you for my stuff.
All right. We don't know who the lucky lady is going to be, but somebody gets a piece of Brad Williams tonight after the show.
But please take your little baby gates down.
Yeah.
Yes, please do. And also,
that's a soul crusher for a guy like Brad.
Please, if you've got a medium to large dog, please lock him in another room while Brad
Great
is over
Danes
too.
Great Danes are like wolves.
Yeah.
I don't like those dogs.
Be very, very careful. I would imagine that would be kind of terrifying when you walk in and somebody's got a big old,
this
you know, German Shepherd or something.
Over.
Yeah, those dogs bite me and expect me to squeak.
Which you do, oddly enough.
Well, sure. Works out.
Brad's on stage tonight at the Bray Improv for two shows. Two shows tomorrow night and then on Sunday night at 7 with podcast partner Adam Ray. Go to gocastnetwork.com or on iTunes for the About Last Night podcast.
Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I'm going to be on the new Jim Jefferies show.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Jim Jefferies has a great show on FX that debuts January 17th called Legit. I'm on like the 10th episode or something.
Wow, cool.
I really stretch my acting chops. I play a comedian named Brad Williams.
Let me make a note. 10th episode starts
January 17th.
January 17th.
Yeah, but it's FX. It's our good buddy Jim. It's
okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Gonna
be great
show.
Sounds
gonna be a great show.
Love it.
All right, Brad, Happy New Year, my friend. Great to see you.
Happy New Year to you guys. Thanks again.
Thank you, man.
See, isn't this fun, you guys? First week of the new year, we're reconnecting with our old friends here on the Kevin and Bean Show, like LaQuisha, who joins us on the phone right now. Hi, LaQuisha.
Shut up, Bean.
Already?
Yeah,
I just am saying Happy New Year. It's we haven't talked to you in a few weeks. How have you been, my dear?
Maybe Happy New Year for you, because you're not watching Buck Wild.
Oh, the new MTV show. Thank you for volunteering to look at that for us.
Volunteer my ass.
LaQuisha, look, we thought about you, and we thought, what does LaQuisha love more than anything in the world? And then we thought Barack Obama. But then after that, stupid white people.
Oh, you ain't just saying something when you say that about this show. I realize now I owe an enormous apology to Jersey Shore.
Wait a minute. You despise that cast in that show.
This show makes Snooki look like Stephen Hawking.
Oh, my God.
This is the Jersey Shore in West Virginia, so that means even less intelligence and many less teeth.
Wow.
So where do they find these kids? I mean, what do they do? Are they in high school? Or are they just unemployed? What are they doing?
This is a group of friends who had just graduated high school. Some of them are in college, although it's hard to believe.
Sure.
And some of them never left the small town of Sissonville, West Virginia.
Sissonville,
West Virginia. This is the kind of town where on the one stop sign in the middle of town, someone has graffitied, under stop, it says the government.
Oh, look at that.
That's all you need to know about Sissonville, West Virginia.
Very precious message there.
And this is a group of friends who get together and, well, they just go buck wild. That's what they do. They're crazy. They're buck wild.
Now, this debuted last night, right?
Yes, it did.
All right.
And my eyes will smell it forever.
Oh, LaQuisha.
Here's a little bit from the intro of Buck Wild.
All my friends and I grew up here together. We're like one big family.
Get a show on the road!
Now, let's face it, the odds are they are actually family.
That's true.
In West Virginia.
That is true.
But we got all kinds of, you got Anna, who's a big Khloe Kardashian kind of sized woman.
Okay.
And you got Kara, who's a pretty little redhead who all the guys want to get with. And then you have Joey and Shane, the two best friends. Shane, by the way, spelled S-H-A-I-N. And I'm sure that's not on purpose. I'm sure that's just how someone wrote Shane down on the birth certificate.
Yeah, I think that looks right.
Well, rhymes with rain, rhymes with train, must be spelled S-H-A-I-N. Shane and Joey, they are quite a pair. They are really the catches in this show, in my opinion, because they have the most promising careers.
Shane Gailey's my best friend, you know. He's a trash man. I work at the spark plug plant, and we're two of the coolest guys you'll ever meet.
That's true. It's hard to find a guy who works at a spark plug plant and his friend a trash man at 19 with those kind of promising careers going on.
Two of the coolest guys you'll ever meet.
Ever. Because they like to do things like go mudding.
Mudding?
Mudding.
What
they
is
like
mudding?
They go mudding, which is they take their truck and they drive through mud.
All right.
That is an activity.
Okay.
That is what passes for a sport in West Virginia. But Shane is really, going to be, mark my words, the breakout star of Buck Wild. He's going to be the Snooki of Buck Wild because he's got charisma.
All right.
And he's got most of his teeth.
Okay.
And he's got a career as a trash man that really is quite exciting.
Half my neighbors are my cousins. You know, it's just like I know them all. I've been there my whole life. There's Uncle Charlie up on the right, then Sneedy all the way on top. Got my sister, then my mom lives at the end of the holler. My parents mean everything to me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here, you know?
Shane is wild and crazy, but he loves his job, and everybody tells me, who do you know gets out here and loves to sling trash right here?
This cat right here.
That's right. Hmm. Who's got two thumbs and likes to throw trash into the back of a truck this time? Right here.
So these are people who have no interest whatsoever in seeing beyond the city limits signs of the town that they were born in, right,
Lakeisha? They actively avoid it. They aggressively try not to see the rest of the world.
Wow.
Like Shane, for example, refuses to go on the internet.
What? I'm on the phone. I don't have a Facebook. I don't have none of that internet stuff. If I need to talk to my neighbors, all I gotta do is come out on the porch. Hey, guess what? I need a loaf of bread. Bring it over here. I need a cup of milk. Bring it over here. Yeah, that's why it's called a holler. When you holler and a holler, it echoes and everybody can hear it.
Hey! How you doing?
That's his cell phone. That's Shane's cell phone opening his window. Hey, how you doing?
Wow. Boy, you don't. How far did MTV have to go to find a teenager who doesn't want any of this internet stuff?
Just as far as West Virginia.
West Virginia, yeah.
And I'll tell you something. The reason, I think it may not be their fault that they ain't exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer. Because another activity they like to engage in is to swim in the water that is directly located outside of the nuclear power plant there in West Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
You know the water they use to cool the radioactive rods in the nuclear power plant?
Right.
Well, that water comes out and goes into like this reservoir that they call the swimming hole.
I'm swimming this power plant water probably 50 times. I've only got sick maybe twice. You can practically drink this.
You can drink it. Because all the germs are killed by the radiation.
Sure.
Look, I know we make fun of these people sometimes, like we did with Honey Boo Boo. They seem to be happy and having a great time, Lakeisha.
Well, so somebody who's had a lobotomy. They also seem happy as they drool all over their tapioca at the home. But that don't mean that they're not idiots. Now, they all live in the house together, just like Jersey Shore. But in this episode, they get evicted from the house day one.
In the first episode?
In the first episode, because they had this wild party, and the neighbors don't like the party so much. In fact, one neighbor comes over to complain, and she messes with the wrong Buck Wild, which is the giant girl Anna, who decides she ain't having none of it.
You're drunk.
You're insane!
Yes! Yes! But if you don't bring this party down, the insane
this
is going to go...
My Back
up,
Sweetie. Do not touch me.
Back up,
Sweetie. Do not touch me. I'm not kidding. Get up.
Love it. Love it.
There it is. There's that MTV moment they were looking for.
Love it.
At that point, Anna gets so angry, the radiation from the water from the power plant turns her into a giant green monster. She proceeds to, Anna smash. Well, they get evicted, so they have to move into an even less classy house right there in Sissonville in the top of this mountain where no one can bother them when they're having their parties. And Shane is happy that they're moving closer to his holler.
It's awesome that the girls are out in the country now. I only had to drive into the city to get my fart on.
That's right.
What? To get his what? What'd he say? What'd he say?
This show is subtitled.
It's subtitled? Of course it is.
Because it sounded like he only he doesn't have to drive in the city to get his fart on.
He did say that.
That's what I was wondering, yes.
But no, to get his flirt on. He's trying to flirt with all the lovely ladies of Sissonville that have moved into that house.
Oh, I'll bet he's smooth.
And by lovely ladies, I mean girls who would be rejected from a sideshow at a carnival.
Oh, God.
Well, trying to impress the lovely ladies who have moved into his neighborhood, Shane gets another one of his genius ideas on how to provide a swimming pool for the girls at their new house.
Big ideas. This here might be the biggest one yet. Them girls got a nice house. All they need is a swimming pool. Me and Joey's gonna get them one. Where's Trey at? There he is. What are you doing, wild man?
Moving dirt.
How you been, buddy?
Hey, can we use this dump truck as like a swimming pool or something?
Yeah, you help me haul some dirt here and you can use it.
Yeah, that's what they do. They take a dump truck and they put a plastic liner inside of it.
Yeah.
And they fill it up with water. And that becomes the swimming pool for the Sissonville 7.
What could go wrong?
Everything can go wrong. First of all, let's examine this. First of all, you are now swimming in a dump truck.
Yeah.
Secondly, you are using a dump truck as a swimming pool.
Correct.
Thirdly, there is a water-filled dump truck parked on your lawn and you are swimming in it.
Right.
Need I go on?
No, no. I think you got the point made, yeah.
And I love the fact that when they get the guy they get the truck from, they say, hey, what are you doing? Moving dirt. That is a job someone has in West Virginia. You see that dirt over there? Put that in your truck and then move it over to this other place and then put the dirt over there. That is a coveted career in West Virginia.
Yeah, that guy's got a good gig.
Well, we meet some of the Mortar girls as they have this swimming party, including the exotic and exciting Salwa.
My name's Salwa. I'm 23 years old. My parents are from Bangladesh, so I'm Bengali.
Are you guys ready to party?
I may look exotic, but I'm as country as it comes.
Yeah, I'm sure her family's so glad they moved from Bangladesh to West Virginia.
Yeah.
When they looked around and said, we have it even worse here than we did in Bangladesh. This is the only place more depressing than when we lived in Bangladesh.
Is there anyone hot on this show, Buck Wild?
It is a matter of opinion.
Okay, so no.
And also a matter of comparison.
I see.
For West Virginia, yeah, I guess maybe these girls are attractive.
Okay.
So much so that one of the fellas there, Tyler, who is considered sort of the good-looking guy in the bunch, he hooks up with Tara, who is going to the University of West Virginia. So she's of all of them. She's like a brain surgeon.
Wow.
He finds her attractive. And so there's like the second day they know each other, they have sex in the house there. But unfortunately, they have sex in Anna the Giant's bed. And Anna the Giant does not appreciate it when she finds out that her bed has been used for coitus that she was not involved in.
Uh-huh. You all f***ed my bed. Katie heard it. She was laying in the next room f***ing sex. You all f***ed my bed. How disrespectful is that?
Sorry.
He put down his corn chips long enough to apologize?
That should take care of it.
He put down his pork rinds long enough to apologize, and you can see how articulate these fellas are there in the holler in Sissonville, where they all live.
Sure.
I just want to thank you fellas for giving me the opportunity to watch that show.
You're welcome, LaQuisha.
Watch that show
and
once.
And we'll talk to you next week
and
with
so
episode
no
two.
No need further, I think, for any more watching of Buck Wild.
Wait, is Buck Wild over?
Yes.
I think it's a series that continues next Thursday night.
I think it was a movie, and the movie's over.
We'll talk to you next Friday, LaQuisha.
Oh.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Dude, I'm losing money here.
It's 20 for a full side per you know what I mean.
A second moment win.
All right.
Can I try that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He's on fire, man.
All right.
Just a little context for that. We were talking to Brad Williams, diminutive comedian Brad Williams, and he's a little person. And so he was getting charged $17 per ticket for his comedy club appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it should be $20. And that's when this happened. Let's play that moment.
No, I don't think we need to play it again.
Yeah, just a little bit of context.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Dude, I'm losing money here.
It's 20 for a full side per you know what I mean.
A second moment win.
All right.
Can I try that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How can you not say the word person? I mean, really, that's not a difficult word.
Or size. Because it came out regular sigh. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then I have to be honest, guys. I am rarely flummoxed by guests, but I have quite a crush on Carrie Brownstein. And she's joining us in studio from Portland. Coming up.
Don't be creepy.
We got the creepy filter ready.
Not a creepy thing.
Do
it's
not
just,
be everything you love. It turns to creep.
No, it's not creepy. She's just so smart, and I'm intimidated by super
fest.
Smart people. That's odd. I think she won't like us.
Tell me about the dollar.
I think she won't like us. That's what my fear is.
That Portlandia, one of the funniest shows on television.
I like it
so great. Yeah. So great. I'm very excited. Carrie will be in here in just a couple minutes. But first, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Hulk Hogan has refiled his $100 million lawsuit against the website Gawker because he has realized that people have stopped talking about him again. No, because he realized that they did post a portion of his sex tape online, and he believes his image has been damaged to the tune of $100 million.
Please.
Look, how can he be taken seriously as a guy who pretends to wrestle people in silly tights when that kind of sex tape nonsense is out there being circulated?
All this sex tape did is remind some people that Hulk Hogan was still alive.
That's right, brother. Hopefully.
What do you mean refiled? He dropped it at some point?
Yeah, he dropped it because he was going to consolidate it into another lawsuit in Florida that he has posted, where he is also suing Heather Clem, the woman who appears with him in the tape. But he has decided now to separate those suits again and to file separately against Heather Clem and then against Gawker separately.
All right, you guys be cool and eat fruit.
Hope he gets that $100 million.
Well, it's deserved.
He's been looking for. And it looks like we have some more casting rumors regarding the Hollywood version, the movie based on the best-selling book trilogy, 50 Shades of Grey. Latest rumor is that Kristen Ritter will be starring as Anastasia Steele. Anastasia. However you say it.
She's that chick from the Don't Trust the Bitch in
She's
Apartment
the
23.
She's the bee.
She's the bee. Right.
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Kristen Ritter as Anastasia Steele. Lisa, you've read these books. Is there any...
I have not read these
I thought
books.
I thought you had.
No.
Never mind. Kevin, you've read these books.
I have, they're very good.
Do you think it's a wise casting?
I think pretty good.
It works
yeah.
for her?
Sure.
Yeah. This is good for me because then instead of not watching her on that TV show, I can not watch her in this movie. Mm. So that works out. In terms of who will play Christian Grey, the titular Grey in the book trilogy.
Brad Williams.
Ryan Gosling, Alexander Sarsgaard, and Ian Somerhalder apparently are on the short list of potential.
Wow, the ladies would be happy with any of those.
That's true, yeah. Just don't give it to Gerard Butler. It's a kiss of death, that guy.
Yeah.
It's a movie. It's all over. And Kim Kardashian has troubles.
Who?
I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian has troubles. She still is married to basketballer Chris Humphries. Of course, she is now famously pregnant with Kanye West's baby. And she has given her lawyers marching orders. Get Chris Humphries to sign off on the divorce immediately because this is starting to get embarrassing, she said. As if she's ever worried about embarrassing herself
before. Yeah, seriously.
Chris, however, is determined to get an annulment on the grounds of fraud. That's the only way he will dissolve that marriage.
I think he's got an outstanding case.
I do, too. She refuses to give in on that point, so it looks like this thing may be headed to trial.
Come on, trial.
If it's a trial, the date would be set for mid-June, which would be about 2 weeks before she is scheduled to give birth to the Kanye West child. It is a perfect storm.
It is.
Of just human flotsam and jetsam. On our TV screens. This could be a remarkable...
I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
A remarkable media event.
You guys mock me for how much I want to be on a jury, but tell me you're not right there with me on this one.
That would be the jury to be on.
Oh,
if you're
ever
going to be in a jury, that would be the one to be on.
Death penalty for all of them.
Bean would just start screaming from the jury.
Death penalty!
You! And you're dead! And you're dead! Today's celebrity birthday is January 4th. Michael Stipe. You know him from R.E.M. He used to sing for that band.
He did.
53 years old today. Actor, comedian Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall. One of my favorite all-time sketch comedy troupes. Also news radio. He is 50 years old today. Actress Julie Ormond from Curious Case of Benjamin Button and Mad Men. 48 years old. Actress, comedian, screenwriter Charlene Yee. She was on House. She's also currently can be seen in theaters, and this is 40. She's 27 years old today. Actress Diane Cannon, best known for sitting courtside at the Lakers games these days. She's 76. I had no idea what she looked like these days until someone tweeted me a photo.
Not good.
She is a cautionary tale when it comes to plastic surgery.
Yes, she is.
She's 76. And Hall of Fame football coach Don Shula from your Miami Dolphins. And by your, I mean
30 years ago.
Chip in the other room. 83 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for joining us here on a Friday. It's a very special day if you're a fan of Portlandia because it returns for Season 3 tonight on the IFC. We could not be more excited to welcome Miss Carrie Brownstein to the studio from Portlandia. Hi, yep. Carrie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. All you've done is be a big-time rock star for half your life and then go on and be the co-creator of Portlandia. That's what you've done. And you're making the rest of us feel and look bad, Carrie. Come on.
I'm sorry.
What do you want her to do?
Take the show back now?
Not be so awesome. I have so many questions for you, and I know we have limited time. How did Portlandia come to be? How is this a thing? How do you even know Fred Armisen? Let's start with that.
Okay, well, Fred, for those that don't know, was a drummer in an indie rock band out of Chicago called Trenchmouth. So when I was in Slater-Kinney, we would sort of, you know, cross paths, kind of sleep on the same couches and tour the same city. So we knew of each other. But it wasn't until he was on Saturday Night Live that I met him. And we became fast friends and started to just make these silly little videos under the moniker Thunder Ant. And we just put them up on the web. And eventually we thought it had a certain sensibility and we had a certain chemistry and we pitched it as a TV show.
Now, let me press pause on your story right there to ask you this. Okay. When Fred was just a drummer guy that you knew from a band in Chicago, did you see one day, did it ever cross your mind, hey, that's a guy who's going to go on and have a huge career in comedy and one day be playing the President of the United States on my TV?
That would make me extremely prescient, and I don't have those future soothsayer abilities, but I have a feeling that people that saw Trenchmouth thought that's a funny guy in a band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about yourself? Did you see yourself doing something other
than that? Like, what was it about you that he probably saw and thought, oh, that she's a really good singer guitar player, but man, can she write comedy? It must be just as weird for him to see what you turned into.
I think so. I think we just kind of had a mutual fascination with one another. We share a similar sensibility of being really obsessed with couples and minutiae and kind of the way that people do feel bad about things and perform at their lives. And so, I don't know. It was just a leap of faith. I don't know what he saw in me. I will have to ask him that.
You have talked in the past about how this relationship that you and Fred have together is different from any other relationship that either of you have ever had. And in some ways, it's closer, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we just haven't messed this one up by making it romantic. And we know that about each other. So we stick it out in this close platonic friendship, and so far it's working pretty well.
Well, Portlandia is one of those shows, and I sense that it gets bigger every year. Am I right about that, as the show continues to draw an audience with every new season, right? Audience?
That's our hope, yeah.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
But it's one of those shows that it seems like it's inexhaustible. It's not hemmed in at all like most quote-unquote sitcoms are, in that you virtually anything that you can think of, you can figure out a way to do on the show. It's just, it's all up in the air in terms of format, right?
I think so, yeah. I feel like we feel like the parameters are pretty elastic. You know, it's a sketch show, but it's not a traditional sketch show. We're not operating under a specific kind of model or following a form. I love the show Louis for that reason too. Like, he just changes things up so brilliantly, and it's very unexpected, and it's nice to be surprised by something.
Does it scare you a little bit though? Because, for example, Louis is a great show that I love, and yet some are better than others. It's kind of difficult to keep the level that high if you have such, you know, fewer regulations on yourself.
I think so too. And I do think that having structure helps, because then you have something to deviate from. So you have to set rules for yourself, and you don't necessarily want just this kind of free form creativity. I think you lose like a sense of cohesion, but it's okay to take risks. And I think if you fail, sometimes that's fine, as long as on occasion you actually succeed.
Right.
This is the voice of Carrie Brownstein here on The Kevin Avine Show. She, of course, is the co-creator, co-writer, co-star, along with Fred Armisen, of Portlandia, which comes back tonight on the IFC channel. Let's talk about the types of characters that you guys most commonly play on the show. The show's called Portlandia, but these people are everywhere, right?
Of course. Yeah. I think that we, you know, that was kind of what people talked about first season. Like, would anyone get this outside of Portland? I think people get it better outside of Portland. I think Portland's perhaps the most uncomfortable with this.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, they're very supportive, but, you know, we're a self-reflexive, sensitive city. So,
sure.
But yeah, these people, you know, and Fred and I count ourselves among them. They're not separate from who we are everywhere, including, you know, outside this country. I think this is just a way that people are trying to live and trying to, you know, be super conscientious and good, but very flummoxed by how many rules, you know, there are in terms of being good.
Does anyone, does anyone from Portland get upset? Hey, we're not like that.
Sure. Not so much to my face. But
sure. People, online.
Yes, online. People people are very, very polite. And it's okay if they don't get it. I always think it's good to have something that's not just, you know, benign, that everyone is like, yeah, that's okay. Like, having a little bit of a divisive factor is always interesting for any creative endeavor.
Right.
Do you live in Portland, Carrie?
I do.
You've kind of ruined Portland for me in that I live in Seattle, so I go to Portland quite a bit. I was just there over the weekend, for instance. I feel like I'm in an episode of your TV show when I'm walking on the streets in Portland, because everything just kind of has that look. You know what I mean? Just the types of places that you shoot the show and the kinds of things that people wear and the way they talk. I feel like it's a real – it's almost like a Portlandia amusement park in real life.
Wow, that's a really great idea. Maybe we could build a Portland amusement park up in Seattle. Would you guys like that?
I think that's an outstanding idea. It's also worth mentioning, though, by the way, that even though you're kind of poking fun, you're not really being mean to anybody. I mean, it's very gentle, right?
I think so. I mean, there's definitely a fondness that Fred and I share for Portland. And like I said earlier, we don't feel outside of it looking in, making people targets. Like, we're – it's very much intrinsic to who we are. And I think you can be trenchant or incisive without being obnoxiously mean or cruel. You know, it allows an audience in. I think if you're just bludgeoning people with some opinion or mean-spiritedness, it's like, where does the audience get to use their imagination there? So we keep it friendly.
We just use bludgeon mainly on this show.
That's what we should.
We could learn from you.
I could learn from you.
my favorite of the recurring sketches, I think, is the feminist bookshop. I think that's the one that just slays me. I think it might have even been in the first season where your character, Carrie, somebody was pointing at something on a bookshelf or something like that, and you said, "Put that away. Every time somebody points, I see a penis." And right there, I just – because these are people who see sexuality everywhere and want to see sexuality nowhere in the world. And that is a hilarious character to even come up with.
Yeah, that's a tough way to live, I think.
You think?
Yeah, but what's great about those characters and who Fred and I think of as these sort of like feminist superheroes, but the store we actually shoot at is a real feminist bookstore who are super supportive of the show, and we have a great relationship with them. The shop's called In Other Words.
They remember that, of course, you remember, you wrote it, but the episode where they refuse to acknowledge a baby's sex and they're trying to figure out how to change a baby without knowing whether it's a boy or a girl.
Yeah. That it seems like parenting is so difficult to begin with. That's just like an added layer of difficulty.
All right, we need to take a break, Bean. I'm sorry.
We're having so much fun.
I know, and I know you're the biggest fan in the world of Portlandia. I like it
you're
as well.
You're a bad person.
We can take a break and come back.
Okay, as long as you promise.
We'll do that and we'll come right.
Cousin Sal joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show with a preview of the wild card NFL playoff games. Right now, we are looking forward to ramping up to tonight's debut of Portlandia Season 3 on IFC. Carrie Brownstein is in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Although, I guess, unofficially, you guys have kind of already debuted because you had that special winter episode a couple of weeks ago, right, Carrie?
We did, yeah. Right before Christmas, we aired Winter in Portlandia, which was the first time we showed any clouds on the show.
So funny. Now, that is an easy way for me to get into what I wanted to talk to you about, which is with the success and the popularity of your program, it seems like every celebrity in the world wants to be on it now. You must be turning them away with the people, the guest stars that want to be on the show. For instance, Jack White shows up on that Winter in Portlandia episode, which was kind of random and out of the blue. Tell me what the process is on who you let in and who you don't.
Well, I mean, it's... we're very flattered that people want to be on the show, and it kind of works twofold. One is, you know, the people that we approach because we've written a character that we think that they would be great for, like Jeff Goldblum is somebody that we just really wanted on our show. And then other times, yeah, we get word that somebody's interested in being on the show, and we feel like we have a similar sensibility, and we bring them in. So
it's the sensibility, isn't it? Because Goldblum's the same kind of guy who can play quirky and interesting and strange. And
yeah, we don't want it to be that kind of stunt casting thing. Where
like Diddy, you're not interested in.
I'm not saying we're not interested. We could, we might have Diddy on the show, but you know, we want it to feel of that world, that it's not so conspicuous that they're in there.
The episode that's going to air tonight, if I have it correct, it's the Take Back MTV episode. That's episode one of the new season, right?
I believe I'm probably totally wrong, but I believe it's a double episode. I believe that we're airing Take Back MTV and Missionaries, which takes kind of takes place in Seattle.
Sweet. Okay. Oh. All right. So the MTV episode, this is awesome to me because there weren't a lot of people begging to see Kurt Loder back on their TV. Yet somehow,
what?
You guys figure out a way to make that work.
Yeah, we did. No, it's true. I mean, you know, there is that certain well of that nostalgia that kind of builds up and people think back to this time that seemed better than now, which is usually false.
But now. It seems now like somehow it was more interesting.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, people you have these kind of midlife crises and they think maybe my life was better 10 or 15 years ago, which is such a sad way to look at things. But so we send out a crack team to get the old MTV VJs back on the air.
I wondered if the idea for that episode came from somebody like you who, you know, has been a musician and still is. And do you, I mean, is that a thing that's personal to you, or are you a little bit offended that there is no MTV anymore, that there is not a place to, beyond YouTube, that we go to see rock videos now?
I'm not offended. I think, you know, we can't just mourn the past. I think that's just a rabbit hole to go down. You know, you really have to just have a certainty, or at least a faith, that we're living in the best time. Otherwise, you're just kind of stuck in that nostalgia loop. So, yeah, I just try to embrace the present. And it's exciting how much music is out there and people can really curate their own playlists and discover anything they want. Actually, Jonathan Kreisel, our director, was the one that came up with the Take Back MTV idea.
Very funny. Now, if you don't mind me asking, I know you're actress Carrie Brownstein today, but what's going on with musician Carrie Brownstein? Is Wild Flag still an ongoing concern? Are you guys still – is that a thing?
I like how you called it an ongoing concern.
Is it a thing?
Yes.
It's an ongoing concern. What are we going to do about this?
Yeah, just like cleaning my house. I'm really worried about all these things.
You got a checklist of things to do.
Yep. Well, yes. Musically, I am working on some music stuff, not necessarily Wild Flag. Working on a book and some other things. I just kind of taking a little break from touring in between these two seasons of Portlandia, because last year I went right from Portlandia to touring, then back to Portlandia, which was wonderful, but also very fast-paced. So I'm spending a little time at home.
Need a little break.
Little break.
Sure. All right. In our remaining moments here, Carrie, what else about season three are you excited about that you guys have already shot that you can't wait for people to see?
There's something called Fart Patio that I'm pretty excited about.
I'm sorry, Fart Patio.
Yeah.
And is that the new band you formed?
Yes. I'm sorry, I just wanted to get in a little promo for my new band and my new perfume. And gosh, that's the first time I've ever said that word. It's just a weird, whatever, Fart Patio. It's just, yeah, I'm excited for that. This is an art project, is a sketch I'm really excited about. And I'm just excited about a lot of the characters that we kind of follow in season-long narrative arcs, so you can actually kind of get to know these people that we've only vaguely introduced in the first couple seasons.
And I won't give it away, but one more thing I'll say. Speaking of guest stars, this is an episode called Nina's Birthday that airs in a couple of weeks maybe.
Yep.
And there is a superstar guest appearance on that show that I would never
Snooki.
I would never say. I would never say. But I think people will be amazed when they see who turns up on Portlandia and how. I mean, it's just – it's crazy. You know what I'm talking about, Carrie. It's just crazy.
It'd be weird if I didn't know what you were talking about.
It would be very weird. What kind of question is that?
I don't know if I was too vague, because there are a lot of guest stars and a lot of episodes. But this particular one I'm talking about, it was like hilarious. So you definitely got to check it out. IFC is where Portlandia is seen. They do a nice job with that show over there. It seems like anytime they don't have a movie to play, they just throw on four episodes of your show. So they're giving it plenty of press.
Okay, good.
And you can see apparently two episodes tonight as it returns for season three at 10 or 7, depending on your cable or satellite system, on the IFC channel. Carrie, so great to meet you. Thank you so much for the time. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Friday morning. Comedian Daryl Lennox joins us next hour. So this past Sunday night, the Redskins-Cowboys game, Kevin, was the highest-rated television show of the year, I think.
Wow.
So far. Of the season, you know, television season.
Right.
And like millions of people, Cousin Sal, I was hoping the Cowboys would win that game because I really wanted Seattle to go up against Dallas in round one instead of the Washington Redskins, who scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Any result other than what took place would have been nice.
your little friend Tony Romo, and I don't know if you saw, if you caught the sound of the game that NFL does something like that, but after the game, RG3 goes up to Romo and he says, "Hey, man, don't worry what they say about you, man. None of that's true. You're a good man." He's trying to give him a pep talk after he just eliminated them and ended his season, and I thought that was almost a little bit mean.
Yeah, it is mean. It is mean. Oh, don't think we won't forget about this when he's not playing next year. I don't know what he'll do, but it's demoralizing, and I think about it, and it's like, you know, people talk about, hey, do you want your son playing sports, or do you want him playing football with all these concussions and head injuries? Like, I don't even want him watching football. I really don't. I think it's demoralizing rooting for a team with so much passion, as much as I have. It's better to shovel goat crap out of a ditch for an entire fall.
Well,
I don't even know what to say anymore. I can't do it.
It's passion for a team when that team sucks.
Yeah.
Like my Arizona Cardinals. Same exact problem.
Right, exactly.
Only Arizona's worse than Dallas. So.
Yes, but so it's not worth it. So that's why we need to focus and not root for teams. But look at these games in terms of the way God wanted us to look at, in terms of gambling.
I see. Gambling, there
games.
You go.
That's the only reason we should be watching.
I got
we have four great slate this weekend.
Let's start, even though it's not in chronological order, let's start since we already mentioned the Seahawks. They're going up against the Redskins. Now, I understand the odds makers have given Seattle the nod on this one. They are the favorites of – they're the only road team of the weekend that is favored. How come, Cousin Sal?
Yes, the K-Rock studio is not the only place where you'll have Seahawks support. Everybody loves this team. They're only 9-1 to win the Super Bowl, which if you look at the other odds, you have like teams like the Colts are 80-1 in the same spot on the road – in week one, and the Seahawks are all of a sudden the darling of the NFC in terms of the dark horses. And Dean, I know you want me to pick against them. They've done so well when I pick against them, and the truth is they don't care if I take them or not. You're a silly, silly man if you think my pick makes a difference.
Dean does think so, and he would like you to pick Washington.
Please, please, Sal.
This was the most difficult of all the games, and I saw RG3. That's a nickname I've given Robert Griffin III. I hope it sticks.
You gave that? Wow.
I like it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I started that. Well, let's see what happens. But I say he made a mockery of my Cowboys. The fact remains the Seahawks are a very average, might I say below average road team. They have 3 wins and 5 losses.
Absolutely.
I'm going. I'm taking the Redskins +3 over the Seahawks, 23-17. I think they pulled it out.
Good news for you, Bean.
This is going to be it's going to be a fun game to watch. Two teams who have won 7 of their last 8. But here's the most fascinating stat, and then we'll move on, that I heard. And that is that the Seahawks have not won a road playoff game in 29 years, Cousin Sal.
Yes, that's what I'm focused on. I'm looking at that with all these games, honestly. And then you go even, let's start Saturday. Now you have Texans and Bengals. And here's the thing with these four games. You have four Rhodes quarterbacks are either in their first or second year. And that usually doesn't bode well in terms of gambling on them. And Texans-Bengals Saturday gets going. I don't know what happened to the Texans. They were cruising for 3.5 months. They looked like they were going to get a bye and home field advantage for sure in the AFC. And I think the problem is they didn't get up for some meaningless games. And then last week they ran into the Colts, who rallied behind their sick coach. And now they're stuck in the wild card round. But I like them in this spot. I'm not that impressed with Cincinnati. They never really got their running game going, and you're not going to throw on the Texans defense. They have those big defenders like J.J. Watt swatting the ball at the line of scrimmage. Houston's got a lot to prove. I think they run it up on Cincinnati. 4.5 too low. Take the Texans, 34-13, minus the points.
All right. Also on Saturday, you got division rivals, the Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings. That's no love lost there.
I love this game. And, I did a lot of research. There is no love lost. You're right. I've looked and looked and looked.
Wait, you did all that research?
I looked. There's none. I can't find it.
Wow. All right.
But, I'm so glad we get to see this a third time this year. It's in the snow in prime time Saturday night. the Vikings made the playoffs because of one player, Adrian Peterson. This guy, he blew out two knees. He came back. It's a crime if he's not the MVP. He was 9 yards short of breaking the single-season rushing record. Bean, you came back from a measly hip injury, and you're stumbling over your words doing a time check. I mean, honestly, this guy's amazing.
Adrian Peterson, by the way, who has to be the comeback player of the year. And you know what I was most impressed about that unbelievable performance last week is that you mentioned he's 9 yards short of the all-time rushing record. He didn't even know it. It's like not even a thing he was keeping track of during the game. They told him after the game how close he came because all he was focused on was trying to help his team win.
I know. That makes me hate him, though. I think you should know where you stand.
I don't buy it.
History.
I don't buy it at all. The guy's about to break an all-time record. Sorry, he knows.
Right, exactly. And if they lose this week, believe me, he'll have wanted that chance again in overtime.
All right, who are you picking for that game, Minnesota and Green Bay?
I think Green Bay has revenge on their mind. It's simple. They get off to an early start, take Peterson out of the game, and make Christian Ponder beat you. Ponder's coming into this game with a sore elbow. I wouldn't like Joe Montana in this spot with a sore elbow. I don't think 7.5 is too many. Green Bay by at least 2 touchdowns. They win it 35-20.
Wow. All right, that's the most amount of points that Sal has given or taken for any of the games this weekend. The final game is the Indianapolis Colts. You already mentioned the unbelievable Andrew Luck. He's going up against the Baltimore Ravens. That's the early Sunday game.
Yeah, and guys, as far as storylines go, this one's loaded. Starting with the Colts have been riding this Chuck Strong rally cry all season long. Their coach is sick with cancer. But now the Ravens, future Hall of Famer linebacker, and former nicest Ray Lewis announces he's retiring after the year. So what do you do betting against it's alien versus predator. But I know betting against the Colts has been more dangerous than chasing Justin Bieber's bongmobile in a motor scooter. You don't want to do it. But I'm going with Team Ray. Andrew Luck's been phenomenal this year, but the Colts, they're hated. You know, they left Baltimore. They went to Indy. Andrew Luck's had some clunkers on the road. He lost by 20 to the Bears, 26 to the Jets, 35 to New England. The Ravens are a seasoned playoff team, and I think the line is perceived as too high, and I know you guys hate when I do this, but the sucker bettors are going to pounce on the Colts. I urge you not to. Take the Ravens, given 7, 27-13. I'm taking all four home teams this week.
All right. No one wants to see Ray Lewis go out on a loss, let's face it. All right, so Houston -4.5 over Cincinnati. You got the Packers -7.5 over the Vikings. The Ravens -7 over the Colts. Redskins +3 over the Seahawks. Hey, real quick, by the way, The Cousin Sal on Twitter and read more at Grantland.com. What do you guys got planned for the turn for the tune-in at 11:30 on your Cousin Jimmy Kimmel show starting on Monday? Congratulations on that. What's going to be different, Sal?
Thank you. Well, Jimmy's going to go out in blackface, which I don't think is a good idea. He really needs to talk this over with the network. But no, we have Jennifer Aniston and No Doubt coming up Tuesday, and then I think we go back to like Carole and Dag, and that's it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Will you guys have to tape the show an hour earlier now that it's going to air an hour earlier? Is that going to screw everybody's rhythm up?
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will, to be very honest with you. I think it's going to screw up. Well, we're going to be fine. We're marching forward, and we're taping earlier, but it's going to be a good time.
But more Cousin Sal segments, I imagine.
That's right. It's going to be all Cousin Sal and Jimmy and Blackface.
Okay. Well, we're happy for you guys. And again, that's Jimmy Kimmel moving to 11:30 starting on Monday night. Cousin Sal, have a great weekend, man. I hope you're wrong about one of your picks. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Sal. Thanks.
Very funny man, Daryl Lennox. He's a professional comedian, don't you know, joining us right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the show this week. Morning, Ralph.
All I'm saying is Kevin is the best guy I know.
Why?
Because you're just the best.
He is.
Thanks,
best.
Ralph.
Just from that given conversation.
Thanks, I love you too.
Commercial. Just you never cease to make me go, what?
And then that's laugh. My goal.
And then laugh. Think about it. We're 2 days in.
How dare you?
To the new year. We have 2 moments with Kevin.
We do.
You're perfect. So you are perfect on the year.
I'm batting 100%.
You
put me in, coach.
You're amazing. Let's hear that latest.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
Woo!
It was a good one today.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Dude, I'm losing money here.
It's 20 for a full side per you know what I mean. Our second moment win.
All right.
Can I try that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I don't want you to feel any pressure, but if there's no moment with on Monday, I'm going to be severely disappointed. Let's see how long we can keep the streak up.
I don't want you to be disappointed, but I don't plan them.
One of those signs like they have on machinist shops that say days without an accident, you know, and they just keep adding to the numbers and they get very proud of that number. We need a big size that's days with a moment with, and we just keep adding the numbers.
I'm pretty confident that over the course of a year, I provide you with plenty of moments.
I'm just saying, I don't think we've ever had you go about 1,000 before.
That's true.
I'm just very excited about the new year. 2013 could be our year. This could be the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, I hope not.
Of moments with. You could have a perfect season, Kevin.
This is good fun, though, huh?
It sure is.
We all have a good time.
Sad news. Bradley Cooper and Zoe Saldana have split up. Yeah. It's hard to be beautiful and rich and famous and talented and successful.
So they were dating?
Yes. Yes, they were.
Okay, I missed that.
They were dating for all last year, weren't they?
Most of last year.
Pretty low profile as far as celebrity couples go, though, right?
They broke up for the first time last March in 2012. Then they got back together again in the fall. And they were supposed to spend New Year's Eve together in Paris with Bradley's family. But Cooper ended up going alone. She spent the evening in Miami with friends to ring in the new year. So people are saying they're split up again, which is sad. Mm. Oh, speaking of Miami, by the way, we talked about it yesterday about Sofia Vergara getting into that scuffle at that party.
Yeah, she had a fight.
Reportedly her dress fell down and her boobs were released.
Hate to see that happen.
And Bean said, how can it be in this day and age when everyone has cell phone cameras and no one got a picture of that?
Well, especially on New Year's Eve. Everyone has a camera on New Year's Eve because that's you commemorate that.
I'm just saying you can go to TMZ.com.
Oh, there you go. Now we're talking.
I want to see the photograph of Sofia on her ass with her boobs hanging out.
I feel
bad. She's one of my favorite people. I just get the sense that that's got to be it. It's embarrassing enough you get into a fight on New Year's Eve and then you fall and your boobs come out of your strapless dress and then someone takes a picture of it. It's just adding insult to injury.
But Harvey, being like he is, though, he probably blacked out the good parts, right?
Yeah, there's a little bar.
Stars
there.
Over
what
bar.
A dick.
Yeah, a bar.
Wow. He is.
Well, we'll talk to him on Monday.
We save this tape for Monday.
I'll tell him. I've told him in the past that he's got no business blocking that stuff out. Look, we know what we're getting when we go to TMZ. Give it to us.
That's what we say. Give it to us. Men's Health. .com, the website for Men's Health magazine, has published their list of 100 hottest women of 2013. Thank God, because I love those year-end lists where we finally get a chance. Now we can look back on the year 2013 and remember who were the hottest women of that
Well,
year.
I'm just glad to be able to retire all those old hags from 2012. Yes. I don't have any interest in them anymore. I want who's hot this year.
Here's your list.
Plus, if we go longer than 4 days, we're going to forget some of them.
That's right. Hottest women of 2013, according to Men's Health magazine. Here's your top 10. Number 10, Amber Heard.
Right.
I'm saying if your 10th is Amber Heard, this list better impress me.
Agreed.
Let's take a look. Gisele Bündchen is 9th. I liked her a lot more before I knew what a shrew she was. Before I knew how she sort of just browbeats her husband into letting his hair grow long and what to wear and what to do and what to say and to yelling at people about his performance and stuff. Beyonce is 8th. Angelina Jolie is 7th. Scarlett Johansson. Celebrates number 6 on the list. Jennifer Aniston is 5th.
Okay, now what's that deal?
Look at the names I've mentioned before that.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, Angelina Jolie, Beyonce, Gisele Bündchen, and Amber Heard. Jennifer Aniston, hotter than all them.
No. There should be a cute list. She'd be on the cute list.
She's a beautiful woman.
I think so, too.
She's not one of the 10 most beautiful women in the world in 2013. She's just not.
I like the way, what magazine is it? I think it's Esquire. They have a segment called Women We Love.
Okay.
Which makes sense, because you love Jennifer Aniston. She's funny, she's talented,
absolutely.
She's cute.
Nothing wrong with her.
You'd think you'd just want to just hang out with
her. Sure.
She's a woman we love. But
top 10?
Hottest?
Top 5?
Hottest?
No.
Jennifer Lawrence is 4th on the list.
All right.
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, 3rd on the list. Glad to see her get her due on one of these lists.
Kevin would divorce her, man.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, you'd be out of there in a minute.
I think fat is reason for divorce.
A, not what I said, and B, not how I said it.
First of all, C, it's fine. Mila Kunis, 2nd.
Yes.
On the list.
You can see that.
Not thin enough for Kevin. Mila's a little too chunky.
Mila's perfect.
And number 1 on the list, Katy Perry. Hottest girl of 2013, according to Men's Health magazine.
Obviously.
Not obvious to me. Amber Heard.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, who's that? Who's that? Speaking of hot,
I've been seeing the billboards all over town for this new Hansel and Gretel movie.
Yeah.
With Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
As Hansel. Who's that Gretel? Who's that Gretel? Gretel up there?
I don't know, but she's hot.
Is that Gemma Atherton? Is that perhaps her? I can't really, I can't see. I've been meaning to look it up. I can't see who she is on that billboard. She's way hot.
You are correct, Ralph. I did just look it up for you. Gemma Arterton, yes.
Arterton, that's how you pronounce it. Yeah,
she's a good deal.
She's a good deal.
Yeah.
She's a real good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Former Bond girl, if I'm not mistaken.
We may not have time to delve into this, but you mentioned Jennifer Aniston. There's nothing wrong with her. In terms of the total package, the girl who is pretty and smart and funny and everything, like you feel like she would be your absolute number one pick if you had one. Who's yours right now, Ralph?
Who's mine right now?
Like the
now?
Total package. Not the hottest girl in the world, but who has the most of everything you love.
Roseanne Barr.
She does have those macadamia nuts, and I love macadamia nuts.
A girl with nuts.
Oh, man, that's hard.
It's not still Charlize Theron.
Charlize absolutely still has to be in my top
five. I would
top
think so.
Five. But you know who swayed me a lot in the past couple years is our friend from Castle Stonicatic.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Nothing wrong with that. She's stunning, and she could not be sweeter and more talented. I love her on that show. Great actress.
Mm-hmm.
Just
sense of humor.
Sense of humor. Just really... just got everything going on.
Just
there.
The big the thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Kevin?
I told you, Roseanne Barr.
That's true.
I mean, that's the top of the. I'm not going to be able to come up with a name right now, but I'll give you one Monday
for our next moment with.
In another moment with
Alison Brie for me, you guys.
Yeah,
just in terms adorable.
Of like everything. Like I love everything about her.
Yeah,
Alison Brie should be my number one.
Got a lot going on. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. The 4th of January, Don Shula, Hall of Fame football coach. He coached the Miami Dolphins to a perfect season. 83 years old today. Actress Diane.
83 years ago, he coached them.
I believe it was. Yes, he was a baby when he coached them. Diane Cannon, actress and huge Lakers fan. You can always see her there on the sidelines. 76 years old today. I guess there wouldn't be sidelines in basketball, would they?
No.
Courtside. Michael Stipe from REM is 53. Actor Dave Foley from News Radio and the Kids in the Hall, 50 years old. Julia Ormond. From The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, most recently Mad Men. She played Jessica Parra's mom on that show. 48 years old. Charlene Yee, actress, comedian, screenwriter. Currently can be seen in This Is 40. She also was on House for the final season. 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Body safe to shore.
What 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That's a song that is not coming back, man. It is expired.
It was over.
We wrung every last drop out of that one. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Friday. We always love having comedians on, especially when we get a chance to meet a new one. Blind Ambition is the name of the comedy special currently playing on the Starz Network. And the man on stage in the video is in studio with us right now. Daryl Lennox joins us. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys. It's exciting.
Oh, nice voice. Listen to Daryl, man.
Hey, he should be on the radio.
You should be the DJ.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I've got a better voice than all of you guys.
Oh, all right.
Daryl, let's pretend we're speed dating here. We've just sat down across the counter. We don't know anything about you. What's your pitch? What's your deal?
You'd have to tell me where you're sitting at because I'm pretty close to almost blind.
Well, that's what blind ambition means.
It means that I'm totally blind. My left, on my right, I only have about 75% vision.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's just.
Did you drive here today? Because that would explain a lot about what's going on outside.
You heard about it. If I did.
What's that like on stage? A lot of people who have stage fright. Say they close their eyes or whatever, it kind of must work in your favor.
Yeah, I don't see anybody. I can't see anybody. I'm not looking at them anyway, but I can hear who's laughing at whatnot and adjust to that.
That's
so
strange.
Your people tell you that you're playing huge rooms, right?
I said on
seriously,
mine,
Daryl,
stupid,
you sold
man.
Out
Come
the Staples Center.
He says he's not stupid.
I'm not dumb, man.
He's just blind.
So that's interesting that you lead with that. That's a major factor in your life. I guess that would affect pretty much everything you do, right?
Just about. It's very difficult, but I'm used to it now. It's been like this. I actually lost a sight in a bar fight in Canada, and the left eye was dumb. I was being arrogant and stereotypical, and this guy smacked me pretty good. And so I lost his sight in the left eye.
They fight in bars in Canada, too?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know they were. They're not the best boxers, but the best barroom brawlers of all time.
Is that right? Wow.
Because they fight like hockey players, you know?
So
were
what?
Were you already a comedian then when that happened?
Yeah. I went through a bad divorce from a lady here in L.A., and she thumped me out of the country. And
wow.
I'll show you. I'm going to get my ass whipped in Canada.
That was a bad year. Yeah,
now, how long ago was that?
That was in 1994.
All right.
Yeah.
So now you're down to one eye. Uh-huh. What happened to the other eye? Was it another bar fight, Daryl?
No, it was just boring really bad, and it was super myopic, and I started to lose the sight in that, so I had to have a couple surgeries, and that's what the special's about, these two surgeries that saved my life, changed me.
Can you see what I'm doing right now?
No.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
What'd you do?
I'm flipping them off.
Oh.
And I'm in bright light, and I'm only 3 feet away.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it's. I mean, you obviously have figured out a way to roll with the punches, because what other choice do you have? I guess the flip side is
you got beat up in a barroom fight. No, you don't say roll with the punches.
No, you know what I mean. I'm saying you could be sitting at home feeling sorry for yourself. Instead, you have tried to figure out a way to turn this unfortunate turn of events into a positive and kind of make humor of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have a real life hero. These two surgeons, it was unbelievable, because nobody wanted to do the surgery in New York, so I went to Vancouver. Actually, I had one New York surgeon tell me, you know, we can try the surgery and it might work, but probably won't. And I was like, how many years of medical school is that? Everything might work, but probably won't, right?
That is a general category.
Me trying to fix it myself might work, but probably won't.
So when you go to a doctor and they say, nope, can't help you, that has to be a black, no pun intended, Daryl, but that has to be a black day, right?
It was scary.
Yeah,
it was very, very scary. And I finally did have a guy, and I don't want to get maudlin, but I do talk about it in the show. But on the other eye, they operated, and he told me, you know, there's a good chance if the surgery doesn't work, you're going to be totally blind.
Oh, that would be terrifying. Wow.
He said, are you prepared for that? And I said, no. I mean, I want to choose to learn how to play the harmonica. I don't want to have to learn how to play the harmonica. And it really scared me. It scared me. I actually contemplated, you know, checking out, because I didn't think that I could be strong enough to do it. And so I feel like this guy saved my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, that is hilarious.
Yeah, well, listen. It was when I thought about how goofy I looked trying to kill myself blind at the house. My
That's
wife
come
home
with
a misspelled note next to my head. And I got a bottle of olive oil in my hand.
I'm going to drink all of this.
I think I'm ODing Skittles and scattered all across my face. And she coming like a hair dryer. Goodbye, cruel world.
Let me ask you this, and forgive me if this is a stupid question, but I had no idea how sight challenged you were, Daryl. As a comedian,
yep.
Are you limited in the amount of material that you can do, because so much of comedy is observational and you don't really have that?
Well, the things that I can see, I see very closely, and I listen more than anything else. So I get most of my material from observations in my past and just listening to people. So that's how I get it.
It seems like you watch, I'm sorry, Bean, go ahead.
You watch a lot of TV?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually pattern my – I'm an hour-long episodic freak.
You are?
Yeah, I love them. I love them.
How do you watch TV? How far are you from the screen?
Well, okay, so in that little 75% vision, I can see about 20-50 in that sight.
Okay.
So it's not horrible. So I can see that you have eyebrows and a fairly nice face.
Huge head.
Yeah,
I can see that. See that, because it's so monstrous.
Is that eye getting worse? Is there still a danger that you might lose that too?
No, it's just maintained with the glaucoma stuff. But yeah, it's fine. It's not going to get any worse. Not going to get any better, but it's not going to get any worse.
Tell me about this special. Where was this taped?
It was taped in Vancouver, Canada, where I used to live, and I got the surgeries done at. It was one of those do-it-yourself projects. I gathered up all the money I could and shot it and filmed it.
Where do you get the money from when you're trying to gather money like that? Is it family, friends?
Oh, are you kidding me? I have family that have money. I had a couple of friends who were really helpful, and my record label put some money in, so it was cool. Stand Up Records, best label in the world.
Starz Channel is where the comedy special is playing right now, and they have a tremendous amount of faith in you, Daryl Lennox, because they are giving you all the primetime spots. It's like you can't turn on the TV between 3 and 4 a.m. and not see your show.
I can see facetiousness all the way from Seattle.
You can see that clearly,
yeah,
right?
I can see that.
Sunday at 4:35 a.m. and then again on Wednesday the 9th at 3 a.m. So this is – the special is called Blind Ambition, but it's really set your DVR is what
it is,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's been going really well for me. I'm so excited for me that I don't care what time it comes on. I really just
well,
so
Starz is not known for doing comedy. Have they ever done it?
No, before? I'm the only one they've
You're
ever
the first
done
one.
It. Yeah,
wow.
And you know who the CEO is Chris Albrecht, who used to be at HBO.
Oh, is that right?
And so when he puts a stamp of approval on something, it's good.
That's pretty nice. Cool. He must have been very excited about
I was
that.
Very excited. Yeah.
Daryl Lennox is here in the studio here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Daryl Lennox. And again, the special is called Blind Ambition, airing on Starz. You want to stick around for one more, Daryl? We got a little
sure.
bit more time.
Sure.
All right, we'll be right
That'd
back
be
here on K-Rock.
There you go.
There it
Your
is.
Your dreams have been realized. The Ramones.
There it is. That's why you come to K-Rock is for music from the mother effing 70s. Come on, people. Can we try?
Apparently
Can we at
not.
Least try?
It's the Kevin DeBean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Daryl Lennox in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is a very funny man. His comedy special is called Blind Ambition, currently airing on the Starz Network. Daryl, during the song there, you were telling Kevin something. I apologize. I missed the source of this. Somebody said that your stand-up special was one of the top five of 2012. Who said that?
It was my CD.
His CD. His comedy CD.
Blind. Uh-huh. Also called Blind Ambition on stand-up records. But Stage Time Magazine. Uh-huh. Top five CDs of 2012, including Patrice O'Neill and Louis C.K., Tig Notaro, Reggie Watts, and myself. So
that's pretty good company right there, my friend.
I'm pretty proud of it.
He also gave me a shot glass that said, "This is just going to hurt, and I'm sorry."
Here's
a perfect shot glass.
It's awesome. I'm so excited about it. But what happened was the doctor at one point, he was digging in the only good eye that I have to take out a cataract and put an implant in, he realized that he couldn't use a laser beam, so he had to make a MacGyver move and decide he needed to use a needle and thread.
Oh, on your eye?
In my eye while I was awake.
Why were you awake?
Because I want to see when the light goes out, if that makes any sense.
Wow, yeah. Not me.
No, yeah. No. I'm with Kevin 100% is, look, put me out, and when I wake up, then tell me whether
no
it worked
way,
or not.
No way, because if I would have closed my eyes before the surgery and woke up and never saw anything for the rest of my life, I would have been traumatized.
You would have been traumatized by your eye being poked with a needle.
Listen,
that's
was
the last
worth
thing
it.
You would have seen was a doctor coming at you with a needle.
That would be okay, other than I don't want to go to sleep. It's like going to sleep and not waking up.
Well, that's my choice. I would say if I can't see out of that eye, then just Jack Kevorkian me.
I am watching 40 solid hours of porn and then closing my eyes until it's time for the surgery. I want to choose the last thing I see. Come on.
All right, so he gets out the needle and thread.
He gets the thread, and it's grueling painful. And he says,
God.
He says, listen, he sees how much pain I'm in. He goes, listen, this is just going to hurt, and I'm sorry. And I was in awe that somebody was willing to work that hard for me. And I relaxed and dealt with the pain. But that phrase had an impact because it made me think how much different all of our lives have been if people had just said that a few more times to us, right?
Because most of the time doctors will lie to you and say, oh, you'll just feel a little something. No, he was just honest with you and
this
said,
is just going to hurt. I'm sorry.
You're effed, and I apologize for it.
High school would have been a little easier if people would have said that, right? I mean, if the preacher would say right before I pronounce you a man and wife, it's just going to hurt. Yeah, I'm sorry. It'd be easier.
It would. That's true.
If the Raiders would put that on their tickets, that would save us a whole bunch of pain.
That's absolutely true. Don't pretend you're going to win, baby. All right?
Know.
Put this on the tickets. That's true.
Can I tell you guys something else?
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
Having lived in Canada, I learned the difference between humble and arrogance based upon the athletes because there's nobody more humble than a hockey player, right?
Right.
You ever see a hockey player do an interview? They're always, well, it's a team sport.
That's true.
My parents fed me well. Hats off to hockey.
Nicest.
Anybody more arrogant than an NFL wide receiver?
No.
That guy could catch one pass. How'd you do it? Because I'm the best of all time. That's how I did it. God gave him the ability to catch one pass, and I caught the hell out of it. Because I love Jesus and bitches. Those are my two favorite things.
How was it as an American living in Canada for 11 years? We have the stereotype of what Canadians are like, but when you're living there, when you're amongst the people, did they seem that different to you, or was it very much like living in the USA?
It was very different. Racially, it was just different. They abolished slavery like 100 years before we did in America, so they didn't always treat me just like a black guy first. I mean, they treat me like a CFL star a couple times, but not really, not really just a black guy. But so that was different. But it's a cultural difference. I was really surprised.
Wait, how much of a big difference was that?
Politically?
No, about the racial thing.
How much different was it?
Yeah.
This is the story I tell people when I ask it all the time. I came out of a nightclub. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and police came whizzing by, and they jumped out, and they had guns. They're like, freeze. I honestly, God, thought they meant me, so I just assumed I'm in position, got my hand on my knees. They ran past me to a white guy, and they started kicking the hell out of that white guy.
And you were like, I'm home, baby. I'm home.
The world is right.
This is the best country I've ever been in my life. So.
Canada, I live here in Seattle, so I go to Canada every year. I love it, especially up in Vancouver. Less angsty to me. Seems like people are less out to criticize others and to win over others. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they don't take themselves seriously, and they can laugh at themselves.
Because they have weed.
Yeah.
Weed. I think that's a big part
of it. And the best strip clubs in North America, right, Kevin? Oh, man.
That's where all the hot chicks go because of the taxes and the pay and all that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Look at this expert over here.
I'm just saying I've heard that.
Okay. Kevin knows this area. So, Daryl, you mentioned the tragic divorce that led you to leave the country. You are now a happily married remarried man now, right?
That's right, yeah.
And how long has that been going on?
Four years.
And what's the expiration date on that one, you think?
I don't know.
Comedians don't historically last forever with their ladies.
Do you travel a lot?
I travel a lot. You know what? I had to go through a lot of stuff, man. I mean, I hate when people blame their genetics and this stuff, but I don't know. My father and my grandfather and two of my uncles were pimps, and so I have that little...
Seriously pimps.
And so I thought that I should be a comedian. Physically, I would not be a good pimp because my eyes are kind of crooked and I can't see.
If you stand right in front of me, I will hurt you.
Yes. Which one of you hoes gave me a cake coupon? So learning how to undo some of that thought process and just, let my wife teach me how to stop being so arrogant and stubborn about stuff has been a big process. So it's fun, man. I got a good woman.
This is unusual for us to be talking to somebody who actually does the work on himself, who's thoughtful and considers, like, how I can make myself better. We're not used to that. This is weird for us.
What's the alternative? It's not good, right?
Just be an asshole.
Oh.
That's what we do. That's our plan. Is that cool? Is that a cool enough plan?
Yeah. You know how calm she is, my wife? So during Sandy, and we're downtown Manhattan, so I'm thinking this is the end of the world because I'm watching the news, and they say this is the end of the world. So she goes out to get supplies. And she comes back with a bag of gummy worms and some Doritos.
I go,
what the hell kind of supplies is this? And so she's just being all Canada and stuff. And I'm like, the power goes out and the water goes out and everything goes out. And so 20 minutes later, I smell the ghost of Bob Marley sneaking into the living room. And I go, are you smoking weed during the end of the world? Kevin and Bean... She ate all the supplies 20 minutes into the storm. 20 minutes into the worst storm in New York.
It was all gone.
Ate them all.
Oh, that was a long
5 days with nothing to eat, wasn't it? That's awesome. All right, we're out of time. Blind Ambition, currently playing on the Stars Network. Just do a search for either that title or the name Daryl Lennox. And then you got any local dates coming up? Are you coming back? Or what's the story here, Daryl?
I'm doing the Tiger Lily show, the Maria Bamford show out there. So I think it's Los Feliz or something on Monday. And then I got to hit the road. So,
hit the road. All right. Come back and see us sometime. Great to meet you, man.
Thanks for coming in. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Dan.
I'm glad the blind guy's gone. I got to tell you, I'm very uncomfortable with the disabled. You guys know that, right?
Stop it.
I mean, he was nice and all. He was nice, but I'm just...
Daryl was funny. And when he left the studio, I did reach my hand out to shake his hand.
Of course.
How'd that go?
Remember when Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five that blind guy? It went pretty much the same.
He should have beat you down.
He didn't see it. I was like, are you going to leave me hanging? No, I didn't say that.
I'm just glad Ralph is in here now because he has both eyes. That's all. All right. Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Man.
I got your emails and your tweets and everything this morning. Thanks so much for letting me know. I didn't realize I was going to be on Entertainment Tonight last night, but apparently
what?
I was. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I'm moving on up. You guys better say your goodbyes now because in a couple of days, I'm out of here.
How do you not realize you're going to be on Entertainment Tonight?
Well, they had us in, my friend and my good friend Lorenzo Lamas and I, they had us in over at Entertainment Tonight and sat us down for an interview about the Joe Schmo 3.
Oh, right.
And we talked for a while. They said, yeah, we're going to do a lead-up. We're going to do a countdown to the premiere of Joe Schmo 3.
we're very much looking forward to it, and we want to talk about the show for days leading up to it. So I assumed it was going to be tonight, Friday, and then Monday and Tuesday of next week leading up to the premiere, which is, of course, Tuesday night, the 8th.
Okay.
And so I expected to look tonight to see if I was Entertainment Tonight, and apparently it started last night. Countdown to Joe Schmo.
Wow.
Started last night. Me and my good friend Lorenzo Lamas hanging out together.
How are you and Lorenzo Lamas?
Me and Lola, as I like to call him.
Friends.
We're pals because Lorenzo plays himself on Joe Schmo 3.
All right.
He plays Lorenzo Lamas trying to become a bounty hunter in The Full Bounty, which is our show within the show.
For those who don't know,
the Joe Schmo Show, this is the third incarnation of this show that I've done two previous. And the premise is we create a fictional competition reality show. And we find somebody who wants to be on television, and we cast him in that show, and he thinks he is playing for $100,000, and in this case also an opportunity to start his career as a bounty hunter under the tutelage of legendary bounty hunter Jake Montrose, who is who I play.
Okay.
On the show. And
the guns are in full effect on you, Ralph, right?
The guns are in full effect.
They pumped you up.
They pumped me up. Like, guys took me into a room someplace and injected saline into my arms.
What were you saying?
In
the weeks leading up to the show, that was part of
pumped me up.
You preparing for it is getting huge.
That's right.
Fake muscle
swole. And so the guy thinks he's on a real reality show, but it turns out everyone else he's competing with on the show, including its host, myself, are improv actors. So we set up this whole fictional show, and then we film his reaction to all the craziness that's going on around him.
So he's the only one that doesn't know.
He thinks he's actually in a show called The Full Bounty, and he's competing for $100,000 and a chance to work for my my world-famous bounty hunting company, which takes place in 37 states.
And when he learns that he's just the butt of the joke, you hope he commits suicide, or how does that
work? Well, we don't hope for it, but it wouldn't hurt the ratings,
I guess.
So,
who are we to rule anything out?
Entertainment Tonight had me on to talk about it, and here's a little taste from the interview last night.
Ralph Garman is Jake Montrose, a tough guy bounty hunter turned reality show host.
Can I just say something?
No.
Stop it. Really?
Stop it.
I basically based my character on all of those TV bounty hunters.
Joe Schmo Show debuts with back-to-back episodes Tuesday at 10, 9 central on Spike.
I think the show is just pure entertainment.
That's Lorenzo there. Lorenzo, by the way, whose nuts just steal the show.
Really?
He spends the majority of the show.
Wait, his nuts?
His nuts, yes.
He's nuts.
Nuts steal the
steal
show.
Steal the show.
He spends the majority of his time on the show in the smallest banana hammock European male swimsuit that you've ever seen in your life. Yeah.
Balls.
He calls it his casual pouch. Very entertaining. So that's Tuesday night on Spike.
We don't have to see you in a casual pouch.
I was offered the opportunity to wear the casual pouch as well. I respectfully declined.
Good call.
Yeah.
We're going to hear much more about Joe Schmo, obviously, as the show unfolds, including special guest Ralph Garman joining us in studio or on the phone. Ralph, have we determined yet for Tuesday morning?
You got to talk to his people. I don't know.
Okay, talk to Ralph's people.
Whether you'll be able to book him.
That's only been penciled in so far.
Because that's TV star Ralph Garman. That's not your radio hack, Ralph Garman.
He is a difficult get.
He is. He's a dick, is what he is.
Wow. Now he may not do your show with that kind of talk.
Well, he may not be listening. He's not. There's no way he's too big a star to even be awake by now.
Trust me, there's no way he would be listening. You're absolutely right. And I'll be on Loveline Sunday night, too, with Mike and Dr. Drew talking about the same thing. So check us out, won't you? Carmen Electra is dating Simon Cowell, which is a couple that I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around.
I do, too.
It's
very odd.
Because she's still way sexy.
Yep.
And seems like she is a good time kind of girl who hangs out with the Dave Navarros of the world and likes to party with the pretty slash bad boys.
Yeah, I agree.
He is a doughy grumpy most of the time.
Yep.
And seems super concerned only with money and his career.
And his looks.
Yeah. What there are of them.
Yeah.
So they seem like an odd match, but they are still dating and her ex-husband, Dennis Rodman, thinks they're a great match. Well, when you've got the seal of approval from Dennis Rodman, what more do you need?
That is what everybody wants.
Yeah. How much booze did he have in him before he said they were a great match? He says that he's sure that Simon Cowell will have a big grin on his face for the rest of his time with Carmen Electra because she is one sexy lady who knows how to have a good time, and that Dennis, although he has slept with over 2,000 women, claims that Carmen Electra is still in the top 10.
Well, that's a compliment.
Yeah, that is a compliment.
Do you want me to start face up or face down?
Is that the question she asked? Mm-hmm. So he's given the seal of approval, which is nice because usually exes aren't nearly as charitable towards each other.
Yeah, no kidding. So
Hefner got married New Year's Eve. We talked about the fact that the Playboy icon Hugh Hefner married his on-again, off-again fiance Crystal Harris at the Playboy Mansion. We were debating whether she would cash out or not if things went south for them. And we have a little glimpse at the prenup this morning.
Oh, great.
Turns out there would be some sort of financial settlement for her if they divorced. She would get a prearranged amount. However, she would have to leave the home. She would have to move out of the mansion, and she would have no legal rights to the mansion or any of the Playboy properties after that fact.
So that makes sense.
Looks like just a buyout for her if things go south, and then she goes her merry way. But she wouldn't be able to take a significant portion of Hef's money at any time. So I guess she's not in it for the money. Must be the hot, sweet love. The sexy, hot, sweet love that they share in the boudoir.
How about to answer Lisa's question, what does she get if she's still married to Hef and he dies?
I'm sure
Do we know the answer to that?
The will is appropriately divvies up his holdings. I don't believe the mansion's even his anymore, by the way. I believe that's a corporate holding.
I think you're right.
Playboy Industries owns that now. So when he goes, I'm sure they will turn it into either a museum or some sort of money-making proposition, like a Graceland kind of thing, tours, or maybe rent it out for private events, which they already do, with him living there. But she won't get that because that's part of Playboy Enterprises.
I know you've grown up with Playboy as a fan, Ralph. Do you think that magazine survives another 10 years?
Does any magazine survive another 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, the print magazine...
Spin is gone now over the holidays. I don't know if you heard that or not, Kevin. Yeah. Newsweek is gone.
So I probably not. But I think the trademark, the icon, the brand of the image of Playboy, the bunny head and everything that Playboy stands for will live on in some incarnation. They'll just have to sort of reinvent themselves. That's all. But how much money would it take you, though, Lisa, to have sex with someone 60 years older than you are?
You have to ask someone other than Lisa.
Let's see. The last time I did that...
Well, you were married to that guy who was 60 years older than you.
It was a dinner.
Just a dinner? Wow.
That's what it cost.
Not that much.
Well, it was a good time. Last break, we were talking about the total packages. Who is the whole total package? And we had a lot of emails saying Lisa is the total package when it comes to
really?
How could we leave her out of
that's a given.
Out of that list
when
she
has
got looks and a sense of humor and brains and all that kind of stuff. So
that's very nice.
I was thinking about mine as well, and you were talking about the top 10. Mine's in the top 10. I don't know if that... goes against the rules, but Mila Kunis for me is it.
Total package.
Yeah.
She's
got everything.
I know Mila a little bit because of Family Guy, having worked with her over there on that, and every time I hang out with her, she's just sweet and funny and
she's
just could not be nicer.
So. Even though she's already been Kutcher'd, though, doesn't that
you don't want to go anywhere after Kutcher. Yeah, I haven't seen her post Kutcher, so I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe she's changed, but I would agree. She's certainly got it up there. And also Sarah Shahi, our friend Sarah Shahi from her
That's
too.
A good one, too.
Although she's a little spazzy.
She's not spazzy at all. She's hilarious.
A little spazzy.
She's funny.
She's pretty spazzy.
What do you mean she's spazzy?
She's got a spaz thing going on.
What is that?
Well, that is descriptive. Thank you.
You're the best. Kevin's the best.
What does he mean by that, Ralph?
No one knows.
And he wants to explain it.
You don't mean her arms flail around like
yes, I do.
You don't mean that, do you?
Yeah, I do. She's bouncing off the walls.
She can't carry a cup of coffee on a saucer, dude.
She's crazy.
Or do you mean that her conversation goes all over the place like 10 different ways at once? What are you talking
all
about?
All of the above, Dean.
I love her. Love her.
I never got spazzy from her. I got enthusiastic and fun. I never got spazzy.
Spazzy. I'm sorry. I'm sticking with spazzy.
And Marianne Cotillard's eyes are bonkers.
Oh, are they bonkers?
Wow, my wife took me to see that movie over the holiday.
Woo! Rest
bonkers.
Bonkers.
Which movie?
What is it called?
Rust and Bone.
Yeah, where she has no legs. She's bonkers.
Is it better to be bonkers or spazzy?
Her eyes are not bonkers, by the way.
Bonkers.
They're lovely eyes. They're just lovely,
big,
lovely
beautiful
pair
eyes.
Of eyes. That's all.
Bean, you missed the part where she has no legs. You missed that part.
No, I know.
Okay,
I know that. That's not a deal breaker for me, by the way.
It wasn't for him either.
But he
hits
a handicap.
Marion Cotillard.
Interesting.
You know.
Whatever she's got left is enough for you. Is that what you're saying?
Bonkers.
Doesn't have bonkers eyes. Today's celebrity birthday is Don Shula, Hall of Fame football coach, 83 years old today. Actress Diane Cannon turns 76. Michael Stipe from REM is 53. Dave Foley, actor from News Radio and Kids in the Hall, turns 50 years old today. Actress Julia Ormond, most recently seen as Jessica Prey's mom on Mad Men. She's a saucy little minx, that Mrs. which I believe is their last name. I'm not sure. Charlene Yee from House, and This Is 40, actress and comedian. She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we've got an all-new show. The King of Mexico is actually finally back.
Oh,
what?
I hugged a wombat.
Says he went just to hug a wombat. So we're going to have to find out about that.
Oh, I ate a kangaroo.
Andrew Siciliano will talk about the NFL. Timothy Oliphant. How do you say his name, Ralph?
Yes. I think it's Oliphant.
Yeah. Coming in.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Ran out of time there.
Pass it over to me.
By the way, I forgot that it was Friday. I am in no way prepared for Don't Bogart.
All right.
Let's just wing it. And just try to make it. So let's hit
remix.
That music.
Remix.
Somebody
please
me.
Just hit the song.
Remix.
Started. Remix.
Playing.
Did Beer Bug forget it was also Friday?
You know, we're playing the song.
Right? As
you
speak.
Oh, I'm not hearing. No one's
just
hearing.
Like the other one.
What I'm saying is I'm not getting it.
All right.
Yeah, we get that you're not getting it, but we're playing it.
Everyone else is getting it.
Although we are talking through it.
Yeah.
We'll work out these bugs by Monday,
I think 2013 is going to be awesome.
I do, too.
Monday's going to be good because we'll have worked out the bugs and everybody will be on the same page.
Really?
We'll start again.
Do you think that?
Just cut our losses and say goodbye.
I think this is the best show we're ever going to have all year long.
Roll. Just like the other one, this one seems to be about
sentiment.
I don't have another cent. But don't bogart that joint.
Nothing better watching Beer Mug just do this a lot.
Just pass it around.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
I need meat.
You're a quitter. Only fools quit.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.